PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Coming from New Zealand, I would actually think that it'd be like some elven flavor.
Nice. I was hoping for a good Lord of the Rings reference in this, and you did not disappoint.
Yes.
God.
I have not really paid much attention to movies. I just drink beer and watch comedy.
There are books and stuff, too.
Oh, my God.
But then again,
what is this? Cinema Crespediso?
Yeah.
This is the Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
If you feel you are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
That's right, everyone. Welcome to episode 270 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, showing the Cinema Crespediso studio, where we got nothing but bangers all day long. If you're listening, turn that volume up.
Nothing but bangers. Chris.
All bangers.
How about mash? Do we have any mash?
No.
No mash, just bangers.
Will you listen to the bangers? Will you just listen to the bangers? Listen to that bass. We listen to it. Guys, we're chilling in the studio. That was Yusa Cogburn. Jumping the gun.
I just want a little bit of mash.
He wants the mash. You want the mash? Okay. Go to Fiddler's Green. This episode brought to you by Fiddler's Green. No, it's not. No. Guys, if you want to advertise, let us know. PFT Radio Network at gmail.com. Current threat level is 10. Worthlessness is unavoidable, Drew.
Ooh, isn't that the truth?
With us from PFT Media's own Scotch Good Conversation, one of our favorite shows. This guy is fantastic. We love him. It's his second appearance here, ladies and gentlemen. Peter Von Zaborski, yeah!
Is the threat level at 10? Are we at 10?
We're at 10.
Should I get canned food?
Well, we're only at 10. Let me see. When did that update? That was... Oh, boy. The update's going to change about an hour. So if you don't have canned food already, you're done.
Yeah, because
because it changes every 5 hours.
I'm not sure what tan means, but it's less frightening than purple, and it's definitely less frightening than black.
Tan currently means worthlessness is unavoidable.
Okay, I didn't hear that part.
That's what the worthlessness.
Because
the color itself threw you off so much.
Yeah. I just, it concerns me. Tan things, people, anything.
It's important to stay on top of the threat update, because if tan's freaking you out, 10 hours ago, the threat level was aqua.
I do love the fact that you're pulling that up from an app as if this is an actual thing.
It's real!
It's on Twitter!
The threat update is real! It's monitoring trends and crunching key metrics to evaluate existential risk, powered by science, patents applied for.
Okay, so should I be concerned? I was just trying to be funny.
It depends!
Existentially speaking, yes, it depends. Should be concerned.
22 hours ago, the current threat level was maroon.
Is that better or worse than tan?
Maroon meant resent your thoughts. So it's up to you. Would you rather resent your thoughts or realize that worthlessness is unavoidable?
I do both those pretty much on an hourly basis.
On an hourly basis? Well, then you're good to go, Pete. I wouldn't worry.
I'm very comfortable.
You're in tune then with the thread update. If I were you, I may want to follow that
My
feed
work here is
just
done.
To make sure. Yeah, yeah, there you go. You'd be like, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now. Yes, I agree. It is currently lattice purple. Is that even a color, Drew? Drew's the color guy.
I have no idea.
You're the color guy.
Lattice purple. I've never heard that before.
No?
No.
All right. We just made up a new color.
Boom. Good job, Chris.
I'm going to invent a new one called Varicose, where it's a purple-hued black called Varicose.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And then I'll sell it to the goths.
Oh, they'll love it.
It'll be a hot topic.
And interior designers.
The lady from Beetlejuice, she'll be, all my walls are Varicose. Guys, I'm sorry, this has been a wild start to the show already. We were already hanging out, we were drinking these, what did you bring us? Red Cypress Carl's IPA. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Drew, for having me.
Oh man, thank you so much for coming
on. My favorite studio, the most colorful, most beautiful, relaxing the hot tub, yes. the stripper pole. Yes. I love everything about this.
Drew box. Just put in the disco ball that's giving us the mirror.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of this is honestly Drew Secogren. Drew, yeah. I gave him carte blanche. I said, this is kind of what I want, and he went with it, and it's great. Drew, we're going to be fixing this whole area up over here pretty soon.
So I have more space?
You'll have a whole new space.
Okay.
And you already have plenty of materials to put up there. But
okay. Yeah. I got to start collecting material again.
Yeah, people are going to be putting in magazines. Shelving and stuff. All this is going to become shelving.
Multi-levels, the shag carpeting.
The shag carpeting is... The shag carpeting is there so you can lay on it. And like, you know, just get your face there like you're a kid.
I will be laying on it later.
But
the thing is, it hasn't been clean in a minute, so you may want
to... A minute? I don't think you've cleaned it since the 70s, Chris.
It is original shag carpeting. They don't make shag carpeting anymore. So
of course.
So I had to raid Merv Griffin's storage units to find some unused shag carpeting.
Is that the only thing you grab from Merv Griffin's storage units? I figured there'd be more.
I was specifically looking for a carpeting, yes, unfortunately.
You're on the prize.
I know where the units are. They're still there. We can go back for some set decorations if you're looking for, like, red velvet chairs or...
Who is
that? Would actually go perfect in your studio. I know. You got that whole throwback thing going on.
That's like a den. Fun.
You got a great studio, too, man. Now we're just sucking each other's dicks. Listen, your studio's it's nice and cozy. You got great music posters up, signs, stuff, like, plenty of... conversational talking points. Just look up on a wall. You can start talking about that for the next hour. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
It's about you, buddy.
No, man. It's a fun studio. You do a fun show. Scotch and good conversation. I highly recommend people checking out episode 88. I'll just pull that out of thin air for no particular reason. Episode 88, I think, would be a great episode for you to check out.
That was a terrible one.
Was it?
I have no idea.
I think it's a good one. I think it was a good one, Pete.
Okay, good.
I think it was. Drew, why don't you look up what episode 88 of Scotch and Good Conversation is, and we'll let people know whether it was a good or a bad one. Meanwhile, we're going to get ready here to start with the old Cinema Crespediso episode 270. Drew, what are you finding? Did you find any info as I set up my tablet?
I'm waiting for the quiche.
Oh, the quiche!
Now I'm curious.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
While Drew's looking up episode 88 of Scotch and Good Conversation, we are going to get ready to do the Netflix, Hulu, Amazon / streaming pick of the week. Week.
I've been here before. I know what to do.
And Pete knows what to do, so he's going to go ahead and use the Crespediso Randomizer 9000.1.
This be something I can read.
And hopefully he's at least legible. I do get kind of drunk when I fill up the
Silence.
Old randomizer. Oh my goodness, are you serious?
On Amazon Prime, I have that now because I'm very, very classy.
Are you?
Yeah, sure. We've got the Amazon Prime.
Well, then Silence is here, Pete, to maybe bore you, to be honest.
Oh, no.
Silence is one of these ones where it's kind of caveat emptor, as I describe what this movie is all about.
Those are good words.
Oh, thank you. It's Latin for buyer beware. Buyer beware.
Okay.
Caveat emptor.
Okay.
And Silence is Martin Scorsese's last movie.
Oh.
Okay. Episode 86?
Episode 88.
Oh.
This guy. World-class producer, Drew Secogren. He is the best. Mwah! The best.
I'm so I think you're doing a really great job.
The best. Those dabs before the show were great.
So awful.
They were great. Silence is Martin Scorsese's last movie. And there's two versions of Martin Scorsese.
Okay.
There's the Goodfellas, Casino, Wolf of Wall Street, high energy movies.
I like those.
And then there's the Age of Innocence, Kundun, like slower, more contemplative, often religious, Last Temptation of Christ, movies. Ooh. Like that. Very pondering about Catholicism and Christian guilt and stuff like that.
Oh, you have a framed, signed, stuffed Martin Scorsese in the corner of the studio here.
That is a Martin Scorsese t-shirt that was gifted to me.
Okay.
And it is an XL. And not only that, it is a small XL. It is the lower end of XL.
Oh,
so
whoa, that sucks.
It's okay.
It's
okay.
So that's Mr. Scorsese.
That is him. Not Eugene Levy. That is Mr. Scorsese.
No, so I appreciate his films, but Silence going at my own risk.
Silence going your own risk because it is the latter Scorsese. It is the one who, it's contemplative
what
one.
What year are we talking about here?
The movie, when it was made, is his most recent one. So 2016, I think, so maybe 2015.
Does he think he's going to die and he's worried about his soul, so he's making
No, Catholicism has plagued them going all the way back to Mean Streets. in 69, 71. He grew up Catholic, like very stereotypical Italian-American, New York Catholic. So that has been in his filmography. Even stuff like Bringing Out the Dead has like religious stuff in it.
You see that look on my face? I was like, I don't know.
You haven't seen Bringing Out the Dead? That's the ambulance driving movie.
Nicolas Cage is crazy.
It was popular at the time, but it's also a weird movie, so it faded away.
I'll check out that.
Yeah, his movies are like, they run the gamut in terms of style, but that Catholic guilt is almost throughout the whole thing. It's interesting.
I have that, and I'm not Catholic.
Exactly. Well, that's a humanist thing, I think.
Lutheran, we're like silence.
I'm not Lutheran, but I was.
Lutheran is anti-Catholic. I went to a Lutheran school.
Catholic light is what I call people.
Catholic light? Yeah, it's like we want the guilt, but we don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have to pay those indulgences. Pay the church. Don't like molesting boys. The silence is about.
You went there. I was trying to be a good podcast.
No, man.
That is being a good podcast. Going there is being a good podcast.
That's where we go. Front page of the Orlando Sentinel today, a story about a local school run by a church, Orangewood, run by a church, and how they had a child molester amongst their midst in the 90s, and they just did the old, just ship him off and get him out of here. Mm-hmm. And,
so he can go do somewhere else.
So he went and do it somewhere else. Somewhere else was still here in Orlando. He got busted in 2003. He's a registered sex offender now. He's
pretty like famous for going, we're done here.
This is a Presbyterian.
Let's go over there.
Presbyterian.
Just religion as a whole.
And an organization. As long they're as trying to protect
keep
their
giving
reputation.
Us money, we'll push the child molester someplace else.
Yes, exactly.
See, now I went there.
No, good. That's where we're going. That's where we live. We live there.
There.
Yeah. We're just going home, buddy. That's what we're doing. So read that article in the Orlando Sentinel, and shout outs to the people all came forward with their actually, you know what, if you want to hear about that story, if you want to hear about one of the people, listen to the latest episode of What's the Fuss. They had him on. His name is Randy. He was on their show, and
love those boys.
And he told his story to them. What's the Fuss guys?
Men.
Those young men.
I always because they are like young.
Oh, no, they're children.
They're children. They're like 13 or 14, but they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
And they're funny as hell. And they went there.
They did a great episode. They had him on. Rocky let him tell his story. And then now the article, a week later, now it's on the front page of the Orlando Sentinel. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Look at them breaking news.
Yeah, exactly. They broke that shit. Well, I mean, the dude was on Facebook, like, plugging it really hard already. And then Rocky was bold enough to be like, hey, come on our show and tell your story to our audience.
Very cool.
So, all that Catholic guilt is wrapped up in this movie Silence, which is a
nice
movie.
Way to bring it back.
Like, there
I
you go.
I totally forgot what
I had to. I had to bring it back somehow.
Rein it in.
I had to look at my notes real quick. That's why I wrote it down.
Yeah.
The movie is it's an adaptation of a book about
Spider-Man and Kylo Ren go to save young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, no, not Obi-Wan.
Qui-Gon Jinn. Right. Yes.
So, yeah. The actors who play those roles. Two Portuguese Jesuit priests are going to Japan. This is like 16th century Japan, where Christianity is outlawed.
Okay.
If you don't renounce Christianity, you're put to death. And but they're doing their evangelical work, right? So they've sent other priests there, and then they haven't heard back from them. So these two young guys are going to find him. And the older priest that they can't find is played by Liam Neeson, who it's one of his
better roles
for sure. He is
like
fantastic.
Him.
Yeah, he's great.
He's pulling back on those Rob Roy days.
Yeah, exactly. He's doing more the actorly thing and less the I'm going to disarm you really fast and I'm going to talk like this.
I have a specific set of skills.
Yes. Yeah. And this one, a specific set of skills.
It's hard to
say.
Getting caned
and
being
sad,
crucified.
And then apostatizing, which is renouncing religion. So they're like, there's no way he apostatized. Let's go find him and find out what's going on.
I knew what that was.
Well, I know you did.
Okay.
But we have a lot of listeners.
Okay.
Right. A lot of also listeners in Japan. Shout out to Japan. We know you're not like this anymore. You guys are cool.
But I felt like you were talking to me.
Oh, I am looking at you because we are having a conversation. Okay. That's true. So then it's about the hardships of these priests going to Japan, and they have to like do Underground Railroad style. Like they hook up with the local Christians who are hiding that they're Christians, and they're looking for this priest, but they're hiding from the government and stuff like that. And so at times the movie gets pretty intense.
Okay.
And there's some scenes of like quote interrogation scenes that are brutal. Three dudes end up getting
crucified, not like with nails, but like strapped to crosses on a ocean shore, on the coastal line.
And let the waves just beat him to death.
And the waves beat him to death over the course of 3 days.
Nice view for a little while, though.
Yeah. For a minute, they get to witness God's glory as it crushes them to death. Yes.
I was trying to be Sunday.
No, man, that's not what we do here, Senator Crespo.
Okay. Except for the role.
And then the priests are off to the side, like they're hiding and they're watching, like, oh, there's nothing we can do.
Those guys are dicks.
There's nothing they can do. Also, they are pacifists. They're priests. Yeah. They're not going to go down there and Liam needs some fight him. They're like, no, we can't. We can't go to violence. We're Christians.
It's God's will.
Yes, it's God's will.
Sure.
God works in mysterious ways.
Sure. I love that line.
So then, so the beauty of the movie then, and where I really enjoy it is that Andrew Garfield, the once and never again Spider-Man, he was Spider-Man for two movies. The titular silence is about him praying to God for answers and not getting an answer. Like, what is this silence that I'm receiving? Does it mean that I've been abandoned? Does it mean that God doesn't exist? So it's very questioning of his faith. And the whole movie, he's like, he's seeing these hardships, he's questioning where he's at, and then it leads him to the end of the movie, and you know, it's a whole journey.
This sounds exhausting.
It is!
And it's so slow.
That's my caveat emptor.
So slow.
That's what the movie's about. It's like 3 hours long.
Is it long? Is it beautiful?
Long.
Is it like a good looking film?
It's gorgeous. It's very well shot. It's Martin Scorsese. He knows how to make a movie. But it takes a while to get there.
I'm not in.
That's what I'm saying. So
can I pick another one?
You want a personal pick of the week?
No, I'm
good. I'll tell you to check out, if you want something the opposite of that, check out John Dies at the End, because I know that that's on Netflix.
We almost looked at that last
time. That is a fun movie.
Well, now that it's on top, since you've seen it and you almost watch it, I'm telling you, make that leap.
It's worth watching.
If you listen and Didi, we're going to watch John
gonna
Dies watch at the End.
It's the opposite of silence in that there's so much going on, it's just gonna
remind me to tell you what we watched instead.
No, tell me now.
Wasn't Shallow Grave, it was Shallow or Open Grave.
Open Grave?
Shallow Grave, Open Grave.
Is it with Ewan McGregor? Young Ewan McGregor?
No, this guy wakes up in a pit of dead people and someone pulls him out.
What?
And then it gets really wacky.
I have not seen this one.
I've seen it twice and I thought my beautiful wife was going to be able to stay awake for this and she fell asleep halfway through then woke up. And it's just the mind fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got Charlton Copley in it.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Charlton Copley movie?
It's a Charlton Copley. He's the lead.
Charlton Copley.
Look at me. I'm a fancy film.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's, remember District 9?
Yes.
He's the lead in that one. He's Witwicus, the guy who changes into the prawn. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy.
It's a good film.
Okay.
What's it called?
Open Grave?
Open Grave. Good film.
What year is it from?
2013.
And you saw it on Netflix?
I saw it on Netflix. I saw it a while ago. I think I rented it at some point.
Okay.
And
like a Redbox maybe or something?
I think so. No, I think it might have been Apple or whatever they're calling it.
Oh, okay. Digital rental. Sure.
Yeah. Right around 8:30 or so, it starts to turn into sleepy time at our house because we're old. I'm old. My wife's still young and beautiful. And I was like kind of poking her and said, you want to watch a film? Because we did nothing all day yesterday except watch films and Pee Wee's Playhouse.
That sounds like a glorious day to me.
It was a pretty good fucking day.
Yeah, that's great.
But around 8:30, we started watching Open Grave and it was good. So I suggest that to the kids.
All right. Well, add that to the list. That's a perfect Crespo Hundo pick for everyone playing along with the Crespo Hundo where we're watching 100 new movies in 2018. We can watch Open Grave. I'll probably add that to my list.
Cool.
I'm looking for something to watch.
All right.
Very cool.
Well, look at you. I stumped you.
All right. We traded it off. That's fantastic. That's the nature of movies. They're so fun. Movies are fun. All right, guys. Let's talk about that box office, Drew. It's true. You never looked up what episode 88 was.
You're a self-righteous fuck.
What are you talking about?
Episode 88 is Chris Crespo.
Did you know?
Of course he did. That's why he said it. That's why I just called him a self-righteous fuck.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
We had fun.
Yeah.
It was a good episode,
You're
Drew.
An ass.
Yeah, but I'm an entertaining ass.
But you played it off like you didn't know what it was.
I had no idea. That's what Drew just said.
Bullshit.
And now remember, 88, that
you
makes sense.
You should have lied and just went like one up or one down. And
then the very next week was DJ... Nigel John. Over at Studio 17. That's also a great episode. People should check that one out as well. See you, Drew. I know other people.
Good for you. You're listening. I didn't know.
You know, of course I'm listening, man. It's a great show. And that's why I asked you to join the network.
And of course he memorized what number episode he was on.
Well, you know, actually, I think episode 88 was also the episode of El Chupa podcast that I did. It was similar, but that show's not available anymore. Oh. That was Pedro Lima's, one of his original shows from several years ago. Guys, check out The Devil's in the Details, starring Pedro Lima and Dan Perella. That's a fun show.
It's a learning podcast.
It is a learning podcast. We just did one on the Chicago World's Fair. That the possessive goes on worlds. Of 80, it's like it really started in 93. It was supposed to come out in 93, didn't start till 94, went for a few years. So many things were like invented for that fair that we use to this day, including zippers, Wrigley gum, electric boats.
We're talking about the 1800s.
1890s, okay. All these things were invented for the World's Fair. Spray paint was used. Like aerosol spray paint was used. Not the 1990s.
Yeah, I was like, we didn't have that?
Nah, we haven't had a World's Fair in a while or a cool expo attention. Or anything like that. Yeah. We could use a good World's Fair.
I feel like we could really the world together.
We have lots of tiny ones. I mean, each industry has their own.
That's the thing. Now it's all expos and stuff. And the whole huge World's Fair thing that lasts for several years. The Midway was invented at the World's Fair, but spoiler alert for the episode. You know what? No, I'm not gonna spoil it. There's a gigantic invention that when you hear the guy's name and what he invented, you're like, holy shit, that's wild.
Mr. Condom.
It's great. It's spoilers.
Harold B. Condom.
It's Harold B. Condom. You guys listen. I thought you didn't listen. It was Harold B. Condom. He invented the condom. Yeah, because of all those Chicago hookers. It was syphilis was running rampant. Look at the story of Jimmy Hoffa. You know, it got all the way up to him. Was it Hoffa? Who went syphilis? No, he disappeared. Capone.
Capone, he had a syphilis.
Capone is the one who became a syphilitic idiot.
Nuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those tiny little yellow corkscrews.
Yeah, corkscrew into his brain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, end up sitting in his pool, fishing in his pool for trout.
Yep.
The dummy.
That sounds like a nice way to go out.
Actually, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't sound bad.
The world is. It's the world seems like a passable place when you're a moron.
Or you have
a
and pool. Your brain Swiss cheese, yeah.
Yeah, Swiss cheese brain.
I'll be quiet now.
Shout outs to... Reuben sandwich lovers out there? What is this Swiss cheese going
on? It goes on a Reuben.
All right. I pulled that one out. Good job, Chris. That was a weird... What are we doing?
I don't know enough.
Box office recap.
All right. Producer, kick it in. Thank you, Drew. Number 5.
Number 15.
Number 15.
Thoroughbreds made $1.22 million. What's that? Sims total.
Thoroughbreds is a little movie that we just saw. It's, what do you call it? Thriller? Dark comedy?
Dark comedy thriller.
Dark comedy thriller about two young girls... according to the trailer, one feels everything, one feels nothing.
Both of which are sociopaths.
But they're both sociopaths of different orders.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the Thoroughbreds thing is an allusion to how it's... The movie, the way I've been describing to people the last couple of days, it's about how white affluence leads to little monsters, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Basically.
Sure, why not?
So it's a very rich girl is reconnecting with a friend from her younger school days that they... they went apart, but now that they're in high school, they're reconnected again. One of them is a pure, emotionless sociopath. And the other one is I hate my stepdad. So they're like, all right, why don't we kill this dude and just get rid of him? Because he's such a pain in the ass.
Good film?
Yeah, I would say so.
Really, really well acted, really well shot.
Very well acted.
The end was probably my favorite part.
It goes,
and it because it goes there.
It goes to the interesting places. This movie, and not exactly where you would expect it.
No, definitely That's not the where best I would kind expect
of film. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you watch the trailer gives you 70% of the movie
ish,
60-70%.
No, but it takes away all the twists. I
thought the trailer actually gave away a lot more than it ended up. The trailer gave away more, and then when we saw the movie, it was this movie does have a little bit more than
going on
is in the marketing.
Definitely.
But what's it called again? One more time.
Thoroughbreds.
Because also the plot hinges a little bit tangentially on horses.
It's a
motif throughout the movie. The raising of horses. Olivia Cooke, who's about to be in Ready Player One. She's very young. Obviously, we're talking about very young actresses here.
Okay.
And I think Olivia Cooke really hasn't done much since before this. And then the other one, I always mess up her last name, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yes, correct.
She was in The Witch, which came out a couple years ago, a horror film that was very divisive for people.
Okay. So good.
But we like it quite a bit. And then...
Black Phillip is quite possibly the greatest movie character of all
time. You're very passionate about
Black. Yes, Black Phillip is...
Black Phillip's a great character. You just threw a chair across the
table. Yeah, we're going to have to... Fix all the holes.
Fix a hole in the wall. You ruined a hot tub. Water's all over.
It happens. I get excited sometimes.
I love how much you love films.
Well, Black Phillip is a black goat.
Good possibly. Stripper name also.
It is a great stripper name.
Possibly, no. He's the
black goat
devil.
Is also a good stripper
name. Spoiler alert.
Black Phillip is the fucking devil.
Is a devil inside a goat.
Okay.
And it's he's a great character.
Awesome.
He's a great character.
Who directed that film?
I don't know the person's name. It was like a first-time director.
I'm so not used to having a producer who could look shit up.
Yeah, that's a fun thing. You have that computer there?
Because we just go, I don't know. No one knows.
We can actually have answers.
I don't waste
your
time.
Well, no. Yeah,
okay.
He's going to look
directed
up anyway.
By Robert Eggers.
I don't know who that is.
Neither do I.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
No one knows.
Robert Eggers. I remember that name. Yeah, it's like his first big movie.
Good
so
for him.
We'll
coming
see
up with Black Phillip.
Yeah, no, it's a striking film about
Puritanism. You should
have
him on the podcast.
I would love to have him on the podcast.
Robert Eggers, if you're listening.
Robert Eggers, we know you're listening.
Okay, I'll be quiet now.
Come to Orlando, come to the podcast. What else? Split. You ever see that one that came out last year?
She wasn't Split,
with James McAvoy, and he has the multiple personality disorder.
Oh, that was where he buries the kid down in the basement?
Yeah, he has the girls in the basement.
Yeah, that was good.
Yes, the main girl, the one that he's like trying to get to at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
She is one of the...
What's that dude been in? Because that was like getting to play like seven roles.
McAvoy, his biggest role is obviously probably the X-Men movies, right?
Yeah.
That's his most popular stuff.
Probably.
Where he plays the young version of Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. Okay. He was it. I mean,
does he play the young version of Patrick Stewart or Patrick Stewart's...
No, we'll go, no, well, of the character. Of the character. Yeah. No, you're correct. No, he plays the young version of the same character.
Because I haven't seen any of those films. So right. Well, that's fucked
he's
up.
Not, they are both English, or British, I should say.
Sure.
But yeah,
man, no. I forgot. Like, right before Split came out, there was this weird movie that I saw on Netflix with James McAvoy about him being a crossdresser. He was multiple personalities, but only two personalities. One was a man, one was a woman.
Oh, interesting.
I forget what it was
not
called.
Filth. Filth is the one where he was that detective, the dirty detective.
Oh, I think it was Filth.
Was it Filth?
Yeah, because he's the lady
there
at
you
the
go.
End, too.
Yeah, he does a lot of small movies, too, but I'm trying to think his most popular ones are X-Men and, man, he's on a couple others.
Good, I don't pay attention to a lot of films.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
but he was impressive in that one, right?
It's
who is this guy?
Like I said, someone who would want to be an actor at some point in their life, I think getting to play seven different people or five or whatever would be just such a challenge. And to nail each and every one of them.
Such a fun challenge, yeah, exactly.
He was also in Wanted. He was the main guy in
Wanted. Yeah, that was a popular one. The Angelina Jolie movie where they're bending, they're curving. They shoot their gun in such a way that they curve the bullets. Morgan Freeman's like, you have to learn to curve the bullets.
Yeah, yeah. Nice Morgan Freeman, by the way.
I'm working on him.
Nice. Good work.
Oh, he was in The Last King of Scotland.
Remember Last that? King of Scotland was very popular. Yeah, he was the doctor character.
Sean Connery. No.
Was he? No.
No.
No, you're...
No, who's the guy?
Forrest Whitaker.
He was in... Yeah, Forrest Whitaker.
He was the Last King of Scotland. He was... Idi Amin?
Right? Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and so then James McAvoy played the doctor character, the white guy in that
Ghost
movie.
Dog Way of the Samurai.
Yes!
Boom.
That's a fantastic movie. That's one of my favorite movies.
Nice soundtrack, too.
Amazing. RZA curated that stuff. Sure. It was like his first foray into movie soundtracks.
I'm sorry. In my head, I'm going, okay.
This is what we do.
Okay.
It's all about the connections. Man, Ghost Dog, that's so funny. You're like, I don't know nothing about movies, but then you pull out Ghost Dog Way of the Samurai.
I know a little about movies.
You know about the right movies.
Okay, so I don't know about that.
Ghost Dog is freaking fantastic. So it's Anya Taylor-Joy. She's been in all this stuff, and it's very well acted, very well shot. It's an interesting movie. Short, 90 minutes.
Yeah,
you know,
real quick.
Yeah, so it does its thing. It gets in, it gets out. I found it compelling in the way the story was unfolding over time, and yeah, I was into it. I was good.
It was about my movie.
There you go. And it was 824?
Yeah. Oh, no, Focus.
Focus. Focus is trying to... Focus Features trying to come back. That's right. That's right. Focus. They were hot.
They were for the longest time.
In the mid-2000s. They were the independent film
They were 824 before it was... Before 824 came out and did it fucking so phenomenal.
Yeah, now 824. I read this great article about... It's a profile about this company, 824.
Okay.
They're based out of Brooklyn.
Of course.
And of
Hipster.
Course, right? Yes. Yeah. And their corporate structure is very interesting. They technically don't have... It's a type of thing where no one has a real title. Like, I don't know if, but then where does the buck stop? I guess it's run by committee, but it's a small group of people who they like kind of resist being profiled because they're like, we rather have the mystery and we just want our work to speak for itself.
Like PFT Media.
Like PFT Media. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People don't know. We sold PFT Media already. We sold it off and we have management and they're running things now. I don't even know who these people are.
Good.
You know, now
it's,
I have
it's
to,
ghost management.
Yeah, ghost management. A courier comes and gives me my marching orders.
As part of PFT Media, that's what I want.
Yes, exactly.
My orders coming down from people I don't know. Outstanding.
We just sold it off. Is it Illuminati? I'm not going to say, but you know.
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones.
Sure.
Chris, you're way too brown to be selling out to the Illuminati.
Well, that's the thing. It's up for an intermediary.
Steve, okay. Steve Henshey's white.
Yeah, yes.
So
it's very white.
Yeah, and if you actually look at the PFT original paperwork,
translucent,
listed as he's staying indoors all the time. He's got those tattoos. He doesn't want to fade away. All those sweet pinball tattoos.
Nice,
yeah.
Screeching weasel.
It costs a lot of money.
Sure.
He's got like portraits of people on his chest. It's weird. He's a walking Louvre museum, Drew. Did you know that?
I did.
And of course he did, because he is shirtless often.
Yeah.
Thoroughbreds, great stuff. Recommend it. Well, Drew, but would you say it's a movie to see in theaters or like look for it on Redbox streaming, etc.?
I mean, if you want more movies like this to be made, go see it in theaters. Nice. Make sure they get their money.
There you go.
Good. Does it require the giant screen and the huge sound? No.
Nah,
no, it doesn't.
Doesn't require that.
It is a very small, contained, you know, kind of true to life movies. You know, there's no freaking CG. There's no zoom lasers.
Yeah,
no
it's
big explosion.
It's sort of a satire about sort
you guys
of
saw this at a local theater, not
Winter Park.
The NCM.
No. Winter Park. Winter Park.
Okay.
No.
Well, what's the screen count on the box office, Mojo?
Only 549.
Only 549 theaters. One of those right here at Winter Park.
Happened gutsy.
That's a cool theater, actually. Considering that it's a Regal, they are willing to show
they do
Werner Herzog documentaries about death row inmates.
Yes, and then at the end you see albino alligators out of nowhere.
No, that was the Werner Herzog 3D documentary about cave paintings.
Oh, you're right. Yes, it was cave paintings.
It was about the oldest cave paintings ever discovered during France, over 30,000 years old.
And then at the end, there's like 10 minutes of albino alligators. It's very strange.
It's more like a minute, but yes,
that's
it's a weird
scene
albino
when I masturbate in my head.
Yeah, albino alligator scene. Yeah, sure. It's very sexy when they're writhing around.
I know.
In the, was it water runoff?
The water runoff from a nuclear plant.
From a nuclear plant.
Yeah.
That and makes me so sad.
Yeah. But they look happy, though. They're enjoying themselves.
They're all albino.
They're all albino. Bunch of albino alligators. Sure. Right next to these cave paintings
hanging
in France.
Out. Yeah.
Just hanging, just chilling. Was it still in France? Not in France. They don't have alligators in France. It was somewhere else. It's all weird. What's it called?
It's Herzog.
The Cave of Forgotten Dreams.
Yes.
There you go. And so the Regal Winter Park will show that movie. The only documentary I've ever seen in 3D.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It was in 3D. I didn't even get that.
3D documentary.
Well, no, because the way that they did it, it's...
Because it's about caves.
What the fuck are the names of those caves?
Oh, look up the name of the caves. They took three... Yeah, it helps, man. They take 3D cameras into these caves that were the government owns them, and they're very restrictive about who goes in there, but they allow the crew to go in.
France's Chauvet Cave, where it is the oldest, like, when you know how you've seen the pictures of like the like when you think cave paintings, you think, you know, the horses and the lions and, you know,
like depictions of tribes hunting animals
and stuff. And they all came from this cave.
Well, they're the oldest versions of those type of things.
That's really a cave?
Yeah. 35,000 years old in a cave with no light.
Looks a bit like my lower intestines.
If you look at it, if you squint at it, hold it upside down.
Camera up there.
So they went into a 3D camera. So then you could see the contours of the walls and the way they actually use the shape of the wall to tell their story, and then it angles out around. He's like, you're in the cave. It's one of the best uses of 3D I've ever seen.
Yay for Winter Park Theater.
Good for them, exactly. Yeah. And they continue to do that, and people need to keep checking those kind of movies out. So there you go. Drew made an impassioned plea for a reason to see this type of movie in theaters. I agree. Thank you, Drew.
I mean, everybody always bitches, they don't make any new movies. Well,
there's nothing original
bullshit
anymore.
Right,
it's
here.
All sequels.
3D cave?
3D cave movies, one of them. Well, sure. Thoroughbreds is another.
That's just Werner Herzog being Werner
Herzog. Werner Herzog. Looks fantastic. So on Netflix, he has a great documentary. I wonder if it's even still on there. What's that volcano one called? Into the Inferno.
Yes.
Yeah, a documentary about volcanoes around the world.
It's riveting.
It's really good. Okay. It's just fascinating stuff.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Into the Inferno.
Totally worth watching.
It's fascinating stuff. People, the communities that live around these active volcanoes.
How do you film in a volcano?
Very carefully.
I guess.
Very carefully.
In one of those giant aluminum suits.
Drone cameras and aluminum suits. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of drones going.
There's actually a sequence in there about some volcano filmographers, photographers, researchers.
Dying.
Going to one that was going off and trying to
and
do their research.
Close.
And they got too close and they died.
I don't love any job I've ever had to die for it.
Right? Exactly.
I really like podcasting.
But no, I wouldn't, die for podcasting.
Hell no.
They died for their volcano love.
Good. Number five this week.
Volcano love.
Game Night.
Game Night.
Made $7.9 million. Total of 45.
All right. Good for them. A little comedy. How much did it cost? What does it say?
37.
All right. So it's going to be making a little bit of money. The Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams.
We like Jason Bateman, don't we?
I'm a fan.
Silver Spoons.
Spoons. And now he's directed a couple movies.
Yeah. Oh, what was that?
He did Bad Words.
What's the one about maple syrup?
Bad Words was awesome.
Which one?
Was there one about maple syrup? A factory, a maple syrup factory.
Extract.
Okay.
Extract. That's a Mike Judge movie. Okay. Yeah, that's a fun one. That's really good. And
what was the other one? That little thriller he made with what's his face?
You're killing me, Smalls. he did Bad Words, which is a spelling bee movie, and then the other one, which he directed, and it's what's his face, and no, I can't remember.
Yeah, with the weirdo.
With the weirdo.
Gordo.
Oh, you're thinking of The Gift?
The Gift.
That's Joel Edgerton.
Oh, that was...
Gordo the Weirdo wrote and directed that
I like The Gift. Is that where somebody shows up and there's a... They give a... Like a box?
Yeah.
I like that film.
And it's like a weird friend from his youth. And then it turns out Jason Bateman was the bully the whole time.
Jason Bateman, not a bad actor.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's really good at playing a dick.
Yeah.
and that needs too. To be exploited more because he's always doing like the exasperated guy.
He was gone for a hot minute and then he came back like in the early 2000s and we were like, why missed you? Jason Bateman.
Was it Arrested Development that kind of brought him back?
I think so.
Arrested Development not only brought him, that show brought old people back and made stars out of new ones.
Like Jeffrey Tambor. Yeah. And
is Danny DeVito in that?
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which gave him a new life. Absolutely.
I feel like he needed new life.
Yeah, he was fading away.
He's a little diamond, isn't he?
He's great, and he hasn't directed a movie in forever. I think Death of Smoochie was the last movie he directed.
Really good. Is that good?
I like it.
Because I feel like I need to go back and look at that.
It's fun.
I like it because Robin Williams plays the bad guy.
I love
when Robin Williams plays the bad guy.
What's the photo?
1 hour photo.
That he was really good.
So fucking creepy.
And that one, he's just a straight up creep.
Yeah.
And Death of Smoochie, it's kind of a dark comedy.
Yeah.
Ed Norton.
Yes. Ed Norton playing the overly optimistic, naive guy.
Don't you wish he'd make a better film?
As a director?
Just as Ed Norton.
He should have better choices.
Yeah.
What was the Jason Bourne movie he was in? Was it the most recent one? No, two movies ago. No, Bourne Legacy.
I stopped. Oh,
he was in one of them.
He was a suit.
He was in one of the worst Bourne movies. We're like, God, he chose the wrong one.
Yeah, but he was also in Birdman.
That's true.
Oh, he was.
That's true, yeah. He was the overbearing actor in Birdman, which played right into his wheelhouse.
What was 25th Hour or 25 Hour?
The Spike Lee movie, 25th Hour.
I watched that a little while ago, and that actually kind of held up a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's one of the first post 9/11 movies that actually like directly reference it, even just by showing the spotlight beams that were representing the two towers at the time. Yeah, that's a very interesting movie. Who played his dad? Brian Cox, was it?
Somebody famous who you know but you don't know.
Yeah, you know, a character actor.
I know Brian Cox now.
Yeah, who's the girlfriend?
Not sure. Good dog. The dog was a good actor.
Oh, the dog. It was the same dog from
Aaron. Can I bring up something? And I'm sorry.
Of course you can.
The second beer kicked in. Here's a fun thing to do with films.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to share this. This is a Scotch and Good Conversation way to look at films.
Let's do it.
If you look at every film as if it's going to be a surprise birthday party,
mm-hmm.
it changes the way films are.
In what way? Yeah.
Think about Seven.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. At the very, very end.
What's in the box?
Suppose it's a surprise birthday party for Brad Pitt. And it just went really off the
rails. Here's your wife's head.
Well, I guess.
but then everybody comes out and says, oh, happy birthday. And
so that's funny. The only way you can't do that. Is for, speaking of Seven, the movie The Game.
Yeah.
Which it is a surprise birthday party. That's hysterical. All right,
I think that's when I thought of that, the surprise birthday party thing.
What if everything was a surprise birthday that went wrong?
But that's how I look at films now. Could they be a surprise birthday party?
That went wrong. Game night. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a party that went wrong because I saw one admit. Oh, yeah, that's fun. We're going
to I'm sorry. I disrupted
number four the week.
Thoroughbreds, a surprise party that went wrong. Yep. Oh, that definitely went wrong.
Number four this week.
That one went wrong.
Red Sparrow, surprise party that went wrong.
That one was so wrong.
$8.15 million, total of 31.
That surprise party went wrong very early.
Red Sparrow is good?
It was okay.
Okay.
It was okay. I saw it. Jennifer Lawrence.
She's pretty looking.
She's very good looking. She's a very great actress, I think. Louisville. She's also kind of a dodo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's a reality TV loving dodo in real life. But she's also like very much an artist and makes interesting choices.
She was on a much, much, much bigger podcast that I listened to
recently.
And she sounds like a genuine kind of you could hang out
That's
with.
That's the thing. She is very genuine and she's very open about who she is, and I've heard interviews with her where she's very open about, like, I don't like to, like, stay up on news and stuff because it's just too depressing. When she did this movie, Mother, that we saw last year.
Was that good?
It's intense.
Yeah.
It depends on what you want out of
a
movie.
It's a bit of work. It's a bit of work, right?
It is. Yeah. It is.
But the work, it's so worth it.
It's a piece of art to behold. Okay.
Me too.
If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you hate it.
If you don't, then you're probably going to hate it because people hate it, but I kind of love it. The making that movie was so intense, she had to have a safe space set up on the set that she could go to and, like, get out of that mindset. And that safe space was loaded with keeping up with the Kardashian stuff, including...
Well, she's like...
That's what I'm saying. She's 19? A reality TV...
Yeah.
No, she's like 25.
Okay.
But she's 19. So she's a kid. She's young.
Yeah.
She even had keeping up with the Kardashians playing on a loop, like always playing, so she could just walk in there and get her dose.
Get away from
that's bad. The craziness of the movie.
Fluffy and beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. She was like, I'm just going to get into this horrible world.
I need that. That sounds nice.
It does sound nice. It doesn't have to be Kardashians.
So okay. Yeah.
Care Bears is cute and cuddly. Sure. And you know,
it's nowhere near as good as you remember it being.
No, that's true. Give me actual Care Bears. give me little baby bears, paint them different colors, shave their bellies, draw rainbows on them.
And then
I'll hug them. And then I'll hug the bears.
And then hope Mama Bear doesn't come around and maul you to death.
Mama Bear is back at the zoo, tranquilized. This is a controlled set, buddy. Oh, ASPCA is here. Yeah, Mama Bear is fine. She's sleeping.
Okay. Number three this week.
She's going to sleep. Oh, what? We're doing movies?
Thanks for repping us.
Yeah, I'm talking about Care Bears.
Strangers: Pray at Night.
Oh,
weekend gross $10.48 million, same as total.
All right, we're not gonna see no Strangers. No. I don't even like the original Strangers. Why would I want to see a sequel?
Is that the one where people show up at the house?
Yeah, and they torture them.
You didn't like the original one?
No, I thought it was dumb because, honestly, I just hated the ending. Where they're like, why? Why are you doing this to us?
Because we can.
No, and they're like, because you were home.
No.
And then they kill them, and there's no redemption, there's no character arc, there's literally no point to the movie.
It's a snuff film.
You ever seen Funny Games?
Yes.
Yeah, but that was funny.
Funny Games.
I know it was funny. Funny kill a baby.
Funny Games is different because Funny Games has a point. The point of Funny Games. All right, so the Funny Games is like Strangers, in which they just chose a house at random. Yeah. Like, we're going to terrorize these people. But the point of Funny Games is that as the audience member, as you're watching the movie, you become implied in the film. You become implicit because the bad guys literally turn to the camera and they talk to you. And at one point, when they get away and they shoot the dude and they're like, we're about to break free, the guy literally picks up a remote control and rewinds the movie back to them.
I don't remember that at all. You have such a good memory.
Well, it's a very striking movie.
I was like, I like that film.
Yeah, it's a brutal movie. And then the guy rewinds the movie and back to it. It's like, all right, we reset. Now I'm going to kill you. And then he kills them and he gets away with it. And then he looks directly at the camera and he says something pithy or whatever. Yeah. So the point of the movie is that you like this shit? Like, you as a viewer, you're into watching this kind of snuffy stuff?
I like it. So it makes you question yourself as a viewer.
Yes. Like, what kind of art am I bringing into my world? And then the guy...
I missed that.
The dude, that director, then remade it. An English language version of his...
I think that's the one I saw.
Yeah, which is the one that I saw.
Yeah.
With Tim Roth and Naomi Watts. But it's the exact same movie. Yeah. Shot for shot, word for word. It's the same director. Yeah, so.
Same everything.
Whereas The Strangers is just like, isn't this... It's the opposite. Funny Games is making fun of movies like The Strangers, which is just like, we're just going to have a snuff movie. Yeah. A fake snuff movie that is pointless. And then it's so pointless, they made a sequel.
Yes.
And it's called Pray at Night, but P-R-E-Y?
Yes.
Go fuck yourselves. Go fuck yourselves. What? That's so hack. It's so terrible. Pray at... Oh, my God.
Number two this week.
Get out of here with that bullshit. And $10 million worth of people went and saw it?
Yep.
Go fuck those people.
That's right.
If you saw it, send in your review, cinemacrespo@gmail.com.
Number two this week.
Number two.
A Wrinkle in Time.
Ah, Wrinkle in Time saves nine.
$33 million, same as total.
All right, A Wrinkle in Time. I didn't see it. We picked and chose what movie we saw this weekend. The reviews
you don't
for
have to see every film.
I want to. I know. Badly, I know you do, buddy. But at time, you know. And then the thing is, the reviews weren't great.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only 42% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Apparently, one of the things that I keep reading with this movie is that they took out a lot of the overtly Christian themes in the book. The book is from 68. It's a fantasy novel, but it also directly quotes the Bible at times. It's very Christian heavy. Madeleine L'Engle was a Christian. This movie replaces all that stuff and inserts new agey humanism type stuff, which I'm all for. I'm a new agey humanist type of guy myself.
I know.
But now you're changing the foundations of what the story is about and what the book is about. And apparently people could feel that shift where now the story has lost something. And so people are pondering, maybe that's it. Maybe just changing from a very definitive Christian, Judeo-Christian theology to now this wishy-washy, we are the world, it's all hands kumbaya thing, and now it kind of took away the power of it. Like the first, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. The first one that came out, Chronicles of Narnia. Thank you, that's what I was struggling with. That one leaned into the Christian thing. It was made by a Christian company, Walden Media. Yeah. Aslan is the Jesus analog. Totally he died. He comes back from the dead.
Yeah, I know.
If they took all that out, then it's like, what's the point of Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe?
Mm-hmm. You know? There's no point.
It's not Lord of the Rings.
No. Well, it's Lord of the Rings for kids.
Lord of the Rings for Christian kids.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I read these books a lot when I was a child, but I was also a Christian child.
Exactly.
Yeah. I didn't know that was all, you know, the brainwashing.
Yeah.
That's all they need, Peter. Young minds for molding. That's all they need.
You know what's funny? I was trying to behave and keep my mouth shut.
No! Why?
No, we're drinking. Seriously, we're drinking. I mean, I am so freaking anti-religion now. It's ridiculous.
No, I know. I'm
one of our 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts says these guys are great aside from the occasional... infrequent.
The infrequent atheist rants.
Infrequent atheist rants.
That's me.
So
every once in a while, I have...
Every now and then we just talk about nothingness and how it's inevitable.
How come Oblivion's amazing? Anti-Peter atheist
review. Because people like it.
I guess.
Well, it was still a positive review, though. They said that the show was good and gave us 5 stars.
Yeah.
He was just pointing out that we're not too big of a fan. Not that big of a fan of this
Okay, as long as they give you 5 stars.
That's all I care about. Yeah. My mom gave us 4 stars.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Cruel lady. Cruel lady. Trying to bring down our average.
Seriously.
That's so bad.
Number one this week, Chris.
Number one.
Yay.
For all time and forever, Black Panther.
So much made oh my God.
Another $41 million.
Wow.
Fuck me. Wow.
So.
Over a billion worldwide.
Is it good?
Right now. Mm-hmm. As of right now.
Yep.
Black Panther number two for the year. $562 million.
Of domestic American box office. And number one, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
At how much? 600 something?
I was just at it.
You're just at it.
619.
So this is going to break the record.
It'll be Star Wars.
It might pass Star Wars, which is
If it stays number one for another 2 weeks and makes $30 million a piece, it will.
It'll break it.
Yeah.
It won't make... Let me see. If it's 40 this week, let's give it a 50% drop. Okay. 20 million the next week, 50% drop, 10 million the week after that, 50% drop, 5 million the week after that.
Still not there.
Another $5 million a week after that. It's right there.
But here we go. Chris.
Okay.
Black Panther's only been in theaters for 4 weeks.
That's wild.
I feel like it just
made the $562 million.
That's wild.
Star Wars, it took him 13 weeks to get to that 619.
Total. Wild. Oh my God. It's
If Black Panther stays in theaters as long as Star Wars did,
it will. It'll pass it.
Then it'll make more.
It'll be the highest grossing film of North America of 2017, and it's already at $1 billion worldwide. We've been saying on the show
1.07 billion.
1.07. We've been saying for a minute now, 1.3 billion is looking like the floor.
Yeah.
That's a minimum.
Not
it's going to
crazy.
It's wild. It's great. It's fantastic. And,
I haven't seen it.
So good.
If you're, I would say, because even people like Curtis Earth, I call him to his show every week, the Curtis Earth Show on WPRK from 5 to 7. I call him at 6:30. He doesn't like comic book movies like at all. The whole superhero spandex, not into it. But there's certain movies that if they're made a certain way, I would recommend to him. He liked Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, for obvious reasons.
And I was like, go see Black Panther. It's interesting. He also has MoviePass, which gives him the ability to
take the risk.
It's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it.
It's worth $100. $200.
No, it's $8
a month.
Okay, that seems like a good deal.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
$8 a month if you pay. Yeah, they sell your information and they track you before you go to the theater and after you leave.
Okay.
Because they want to sell that information
because they're trying to figure out your patterns and your behaviors. Yeah. So, do you want to take part of the social experiment? It's on you. It is, and
talked about how
Red Sparrow.
Yeah.
They took that movie was not available on their movie pass, and they took it out of certain markets, and they only did that just to see how people would react.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Good for them. Yeah. You know, what's it called? Eugenics. Yeah, it's fine. Right? We didn't fight a war about that. What were we talking about?
Little known fact about eugenics.
We didn't fight a war about that.
little known fact about eugenics, Chris. It was actually founded here in America.
Hell yeah, man. We are best at everything.
We're best at bad stuff.
We're so good. We're so good at stuff. Black Panther is a type of movie where if you're not into superhero movies, you may still be into it. Even though it falls into a lot of Marvel movie trappings and like the CG rubbery fights and stuff, they're still going to be there.
It's almost like Black Blade Runner Lite.
What do you mean?
I love the Blade Runner
films. Oh man, they're so good.
The visuals of Black Panther.
Oh, okay, just watching the movie.
It's like
the visuals.
African Blade Runner light.
Yeah, Wakanda Blade Runner.
Yeah. So because Wakanda is the African future. White people.
Yeah.
There were no white people here ever. And it's kind of like, you know what? That place is kind of cool.
And it thrived. It thrived with their alien technology with the vibranium.
Yeah.
Did you see Blade Runner 2049?
No, was that a film?
Oh, Peter. This is my favorite movie of 2017. Last year, last fall.
Got Wesley Snipes in it?
Well, are you talking about Blade Runner or Blade?
Oh, Blade. I'm talking about Blade. No,
you're talking about vampires.
Sorry, yes. Two mirrors. Yeah, like 9.5%.
There you go.
So, is that good, the Blade Runner film?
Oh, I love it.
But is it
it's
hard?
Gorgeous.
Like we talked about films that are a lot of work. Is it a lot of work?
No.
Blade Runner was a lot of work.
Nowhere near.
It's not as dense as Blade Runner. Yeah. It's a little more open.
I wouldn't say that it's not as dense. I think it's just as dense. It's just it's more accessible because they actually explain things to you as opposed to just, oh, by the way, this is the way it is.
There's more exposition in it where they let you know. I don't want to say they hold your hand, but yeah, it is more accessible as a mainstream movie. But it is also still kind of weird.
Oh, it's so weird.
Kind of long
and
gorgeous.
It's three hours?
2:40. Ugh. Yeah, but it's also...
Best cinematography last year.
It won Best Cinematography and Best Visual Effects, and it cost them $150 million
Have they made their money back?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
That's very sad.
They should come on our podcast.
They should.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Villanueva, come on our podcast. He's too busy working on a Dune right now.
Because that's going to make money.
I know.
No.
Is that crazy?
No, it is not.
They're going to give him Dune?
But they're going to throw like $300 million at him to make that movie.
Good for him. But jumping into something that's obviously...
A failure.
It's going to be a loss.
It's going to be a failure.
You want to know anything about Dune? Boom, right there.
This documentary is about the making of Dune in the 70s. It's called Jodorowsky's Dune.
The Dune that never happened.
It's the Dune that was developed and didn't get made before David Lynch made his version.
Not without Sting.
Correct.
Yes, sure. No,
this one was with Salvador Dali and Orson Welles.
Oh, wow.
Salvador Dali, Orson Welles, the people who would later bring you Alien.
We can get behind this.
If this movie was made, the entire world would have been changed.
Yeah, if this movie was made, so many other movies would not have been made. Like iconic films. It's interesting. What was stolen from the production of this film? It's called Jodorowsky's Dune. Jodorowsky is the director who tried to make it.
Where can I find this film?
It was on Netflix for a while. Drew, go ahead and look it up. It was on streaming for a minute. It may come back. I have it on Blu-ray because I just want to watch it. Whenever I want to be inspired as an artist, I put that on. It opens with a quote. The quote is, "In order to provide light, one must endure burning."
Yes. It's only available for rent right now, but
keep an eye out. It may pop up. It is for sure a movie about sacrificing for art and trying to follow your dreams, and it's very inspiring.
You know the guy who did the sets for Aliens? Geiger?
Yeah.
You know there's a Dead Kennedys throwback to that, because one of the Dead Kennedys records, he provided a poster... which was called Penis Landscape.
Yeah.
you know the story?
Well, no, go ahead, though.
And Jello Biafro's house got raided because he was providing penis landscapes in his records, and he got arrested.
For obscenity.
Well, he was running for mayor at the time, so they were just looking for
him. That's also...
So whenever I think of aliens, I think of the Dead Kennedys.
So a lot of that
and
stuff...
And trumped up charges.
So what had happened... That's hysterical, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. So what happened with this one, Jodorowsky's Dune, Jodorowsky hired this guy Dan O'Bannon to write his screenplay, and then he hired H.R. Giger to design the Baron Harkonnen, the specific race of people, and then the movie never got made. O'Bannon got hired to write Alien.
Okay.
And then he's like, Hey, I know this guy who does some crazy stuff.
Can make this look beautiful and amazing.
Who can design your spaceship and your creature. That's how Jodorowsky's Dune
crazy.
Led into
Is
Alien.
That guy still alive?
Jodorowsky, yes. He is in his 80s, and he just made his first movie in like 20 years, a few years ago.
Has he made anything else that's important?
He does a lot of, he moved into like graphic novels.
Okay,
and,
so we're not worried about him.
He's an artist who is very prolific, and he does his thing.
He's happy.
He's just not making big budget movies. Okay. This one, he didn't even want it to be a movie. He describes in the film as the coming of a god. that would change the minds of all the young people. Yes, in the beautiful way.
In the greatest way possible.
The best
My favorite
way possible.
People are
yeah,
crazy.
So there you go, Joe Ransky's doing. There's another pick for you. Not as readily available as... as Simon,
that also,
or
whatever. Yeah.
Or John dies at the end. John dies
totally
at the end.
Worth, whatever. Yeah. Totally worth the $3 to watch Jodorowsky's Dune. Come on.
Here's Penis Lansky that he's talking about.
It's a penis landscape.
Yeah, yeah.
It's I mean, it's penises and vaginas. Is it really was?
Yeah.
Good times. Fun stuff. Yeah. Fun stuff. All right. So that's your box office. Let's do this real quick. New movies come out on DVD since the Oscars just happened. A bunch of Oscar-related movies are now available. Call Me by Your Name, drama, gay romance drama. With Armie Hammer and Timothy Chalamet,
did
both
you say
Armie
Hammer?
Armie Hammer, yeah.
Okay.
His Armie crazy
Hammer.
Name. Armie man, Hammer. Armie Hammer. I think the same
the
thing.
The man with the largest nuts in Hollywood.
Obviously, he does that.
I don't
purpose.
Know if they're the largest, but he's got big old balls.
Dude, they got CG'd out of the
they
movie.
They had the CG's balls out of the movie at one point, apparently. We did a story about that on the.
Wow.
Yeah, because he was wearing very short shorts, and because of the angle of the shot and the way his legs were spread, they had to CG his balls out. The Disaster Artist, James Franco's movie about the making of the film The Room. Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is good.
If you're familiar with The Room, it helps. A nice cherry on top.
It helps if you're familiar with The Room. Ferdinand, which was nominated for Best
Animated
Film, but I feel like it's more of an obligation. Like, mm-hmm. We just don't have enough animated films. So. But anyway, it came out. I, Tonya, which we saw.
Yep.
Allison Janney won for Best Supporting Actress for playing... Tonya Harding's mother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep, Margot Robbie was nominated for playing Tonya Harding's good stuff. Sebastian Stan, not nominated for playing Jeff Gillooly. Justice League comes out. Don't watch that.
Don't.
I know you won't.
I probably wasn't going to.
I know
anyway.
You won't. But anyone listening at home, if you haven't seen Justice League yet.
I, Tonya, probably, because I can
Tonya,
masturbate.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
Margot Robbie. Well, actually, they do a pretty good job of
Justice League,
Margot
I could
Robbie.
Probably masturbate too, also. Look,
you could definitely masturbate to The Shape of Water, the Best Picture winner. Which yes. And also winner of Best Director,
Deaf Lady,
Best Score.
Yeah,
is it good? Is it pretty?
I enjoy quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. I enjoy quite a bit. Yeah.
Mute Lady who masturbates frequently falls in love with Fish Man.
Fish Monster Man. Fish Monster God Man.
Yeah,
you have Fish Monster masturbates God frequently.
Oh no, and they make a very specific point to show that she masturbates.
Does she really
at
masturbate?
Like 8:17 every morning in the tub.
Yeah, she has her schedule. She has a very specific way of doing it, and then it plays into
the last later with the movie.
Do you set an egg timer as well to you?
Oh, I have a tub.
Did you say in the tub?
Sure.
You gotta watch this movie.
I just got my
spread my legs, get up under the water.
You gotta watch this movie.
Yeah, I just got my Shape of Water print in the mail.
Yeah. Look up.
You guys love movies, don't you?
Yeah. Well, this guy just loves art.
I just love art. And seriously, this thing, and now that it won fucking Best Picture of the year, the value of that print just went through the fucking
roof. It won Best Picture and fucking Best Picture.
Yeah.
So it won both awards.
Sure.
That's what's on DVD this week, home video, etc. What's in theaters?
That weird movie with Rosamund Pike being very strange. 7 Days in Entebbe.
7 Days in Entebbe.
Where she's all like,
she's like, we are the South African rebels.
Ugh.
I don't believe her in that. It's a movie about the
1976 hijacking of an Air France flight en route to Tel Aviv from Paris.
Yeah, and the 7 Day standoff and then the rescue mission. And so it's a whole movie about that. Daniel Brühl was in it. He was a fantastic actor. I'm a big fan of him. He's on TV right now on TNT.
The Alienist. Yeah.
The Alienist. He's on TV now, and he was in Inglourious Basterds.
Okay, so I like him.
He's good. Actually, you know what's a really good one with him? A few years ago, a racing movie called Rush.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was
him versus Thor.
Him and Chris Hemsworth are like rival F1.
Yeah, F1 drivers.
F1 drivers.
I thought that was a documentary for some reason.
It's based on true events.
Well, it's a docudrama directed by Ron Howard.
Yeah. It's the little skinny race cars with the wheels that stick on the side.
And it's set in the 70s.
Is that
70s? It was very good.
It looked good.
It was surprisingly good.
Surprisingly entertaining.
It's a goddamn Ron Howard film, so.
Ron Howard's really good at true life movies. So stuff like Apollo 13, he nails. And then things like to the Vinci Code.
Does it have Clint Howard as a race car driver in it?
He does.
Is Clint Howard in it?
He pops up in everything. He's in everything. Frost Nixon. He pops up in it. Frost Nixon is another great
I
one.
I love me some Clint Howard.
Yeah, he pops up in everything.
Eating a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Look at that ugly guy in the corner.
Yeah.
God bless Ron for keeping his brother solvent over the years.
Clint Howard's leading a better life than all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By far.
So much better.
By far. Definitely to us, too. I mean, that's... God, I've seen it up close. What's coming up?
Yeah, your homeboy Nick Robinson's movie, Love, Simon.
Love, Simon. This feels like it's from the 90s, doesn't it?
It looks like it's from the 90s.
It's a movie about, it's based on a book, and it's a movie about a high school kid who's, he has to come out. He's gay, and he hasn't come out yet, so it's about the struggles of still being gay, but it feels like, yeah, like, aren't we past this?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's 2018, man.
Yeah, now we're struggling with, like, accepting, now we gotta get to accepting trans people as people, you know, the audacity of a man wants to be a woman. Oh, God. My life is ruined. You know, so people are so stupid.
It's set in the
white
current.
White people are so stupid.
Yes. But it feels like a 90s film?
Yes.
I like it.
I think it's set currently. Yeah, okay. I think so. It feels like a current thing. But
a film that you can't judge what era it's in also.
Yeah. It Follows is like that. Was it Follows? Yeah, It Follows is a movie where it's like, it feels like it's set in the 70s, but then people are using like smart handheld devices at times. But then when there's trouble, no one uses a cell phone.
Nope.
It's like, what?
It's really weird.
Yeah, what is this? Yeah, I enjoy that as well. Movies that are like out of time.
Well, it's smart from a director's point of view because it will be relevant for a long time.
Yes.
Until like the cell phone is invented.
As opposed to, when was the last time anyone here has seen The Net? Right. Sandra Bullock. Internet hacker sort of movie from 1998, 99.
Yeah. I think I was thinking of
Hackers.
Hackers is another one. Hackers is another
hacker,
one.
Angelina Jolie and Robin are hackers.
Who's not Marky Mark? Who's he was. Will Smith. Will Smith and
Enemy of the State.
Enemy of the State.
Yeah, it's another one. The terror of technology.
At the time, that seemed very scary.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed very up to date.
But no one had a cell phone, so it could easily been fixed with a cell phone.
With a cell phone. Hey, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah,
okay,
cool.
Good. Okay, I'm going to go shopping.
I'm coming over.
Okay.
The conversation, I was going to say that Enemy of the State is fun to watch after watching The Conversation from 1976.
Okay.
Because Gene Hackman is playing the exact same role.
Is he still alive? I'm worried about him.
He is. He was just in if you look up Gene Hackman bicycles.
Okay.
Someone just put out like a Bicycle World Monthly or something. Just put out an article with him.
Is he a biker?
He's a bicycle enthusiast.
Gonna fall down and break
a hip. He's like 88 years old. Yeah. But if you look at it, there's a picture of him like posing with the bicycle. Yeah,
posing.
Yeah, he's saying it because it's the bicycle brand that he's like endorsing or whatever, and he's very, very thin looking.
Mississippi Burning.
Great movie.
Yeah, he grabs that guy by the balls. Yeah. William Dafoe, really good in that.
Yeah, man. Gene Hackman is the type of actor who was always good in everything, even if the movie was bad.
Who is he? Popeye Doyle? Is that something?
Yes, The French Connection.
Okay, good.
I've
never seen it.
But then even movies like Behind Enemy Lines with Owen Wilson, like, that's a piece of shit. But Gene Hackman, when he's like barking orders in the control room, like, I believe this guy. I believe him. He's like selling the role, even though the movie sucks. I love the guy. He's fantastic. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised. You never know. I could just be judging him based on his white maleness and his age, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's a Trumpy, right-wingy type guy.
I guess
that would hurt because I'm like, I love your work so much. But anyway, he also apparently a total asshole, especially in his later years to work
with.
You know
who's one of those
very difficult to work with?
A Trumpy asshole?
Mm-hmm.
Pat Sajak.
Yes, he's a climate change denier.
It makes me mad.
Yeah,
he's. I kind of wanted to like him because I think he might have fucked Vanna White at some point.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
of course.
For sure.
I
also like the Wheel of Fortune. They haven't ditched Vanna White.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she's obviously.
She's still kind of hot.
For her age, for sure. She keeps herself well maintained, but, you know, other producers would have been like, blow her out of here. Let's get in the 25-year-old. Let's keep it young. And
what's
like, we're sticking with legacy.
Who was the first guy? Chuck Woolery? Rillery?
Chuck Woolery. He's very right-wing. Very right-wing.
So
check his Twitter feed. Oof. If you want to lose faith in humanity, look at
so
his Twitter
pretty much
feed.
Anybody. Vanna White, do we know if she's on the Trumpies?
I have no idea.
Good for her.
I have no idea.
Okay, so let's boycott
It's Wheel of Fortune. It's not like he's on Wheel of Fortune being like...
Let's talk about movies. I'm sorry. I
no, man.
You
this is what we do.
Okay.
Hey, just wait till we get to the second half. Actually,
is
there a second half?
just wait until we get to the last movie coming out.
Okay. Oh, what's the last movie coming out?
Tomb Raider, quite possibly maybe this one will be the best video game movie that's ever come out. Her boyfriend tried and failed, so maybe now she'll
Michael
try.
Michael Fassbender, her husband, you mean?
Oh, they're married now.
Yeah, Vikander and Fassbender are married.
Well, now she's has her shot at making an awful video game movie.
You know what? If it's as good as the first Tomb Raider, then whatever. Do you remember? Even remember the Angelina Jolie that these Daniel Craig was in the first one.
It's gonna be better.
I never
than the first
saw
one.
The films. I was always kind of obsessed with the cartoon with the little shorts and
and the pointy boobs. Yeah. The overly pointy boobs.
I love a pointy boob.
They redesigned Laura Croft for the video games, made her look quote realistic.
Because I like pointy boobs. Why would you do that?
Because our technology has gotten better. Now the boobs can be round.
No, we can have round boobs.
They don't have to be pointy anymore.
I was born in the '30s. We had pointy boobs.
No cone bras.
Okay.
Madonna tried to bring them back in the '80s.
Oh, did not work.
They redesigned Laura Croft to be less overtly sexist, less chauvinistic, and then they cast Alicia Vikander because then she fit the body type of that. I read a funny interview with her, Alicia Vikander. She worked super hard to gain 20 pounds of muscle.
Good for her.
To play the role.
Me
and
too.
And then I can tell you look good.
I know, right?
And then when the movie wrapped, she said she was very much looking forward to walking around with that extra weight and that physique for a little while to enjoy it because she worked so hard for it. 3 weeks after she wrapped, gone. Back to the way she was.
She's got my metabolism.
Her body wanted to go back to what her body was.
Is she a hot girl? Who is this girl?
She's a very attractive lady.
She is.
She won for
I called her a hot girl. You called her a very attractive lady.
We're very woke-ish around here.
Okay.
We're woke-ish.
Ish.
Yo, I want to fuck that bitch, but she's a very attractive lady.
I didn't say that.
I would tap the hell out of her.
Okay. I tap that shit, yo. Okay. Split personality. I'm going to work on a split personality thing where, like, I'm Dr. Jekyll or I'm very woke. But then I'm Mr. Hyde where I'm going to fuck that cunt.
Yeah, she would.
Wow.
Exactly.
Went there.
Yeah, exactly. That's Mr. Hyde shit, man.
She was the robot in Ex Machina.
Oh, I like that film.
Ex Machina. She's a robot.
She was the robot. She was also.
I'd fuck her.
There you go.
She was also Eddie Redmayne's lesbian lover in The Danish Girl? Lesbians.
Just his lover. Yeah. Just his wife, I think, actually.
Yeah,
in The Danish Girl.
Yeah.
And she won for that. She won an Academy
Award.
Best lesbian.
Sure.
For best supporting lesbian.
She was in Jason Bourne. She was Anna Karenina.
That's my favorite thing.
Anna Karenina. Yeah, sure. Yeah, with Keira Knightley.
No.
She's been kicking around for a little bit. She met Michael Fassbender on the set of The Light Between Oceans, which is a very long movie.
It sounds complicated.
It's a romantic film based on a book that then takes a turn
about hate books.
A baby washes up. They live on a lighthouse. So it's a couple.
This. Bible?
Yeah, it's funny. They live, yeah. Fassbender is a lighthouse keeper. She's the new wife. They live together alone on this island, tending to the lighthouse. And then there's like a shipwreck or whatever.
And
a baby washes up on the shore. So they take in the baby because it's like the 1890s.
And because you kind of had to.
Yeah, it's like sure we got to take
push
the baby.
It back out.
Also, they were having problems conceiving.
Okay.
As well. So, like,
baby from God.
Baby from God. This is our baby. We're raising this baby. A year or two later, he goes to town.
What does that mean?
Like literally, because the lighthouse is on an island.
I thought it was sex thing.
No. Okay. He goes to town on her, man. No.
Okay.
He goes to the nearby town.
Okay.
And he finds out in that town.
Someone lost the baby.
Someone lost the baby. We have, right around the same time we found the baby.
I feel like that's just bad parenting, though.
No, because it's a shipwreck type deal.
Okay.
You know, it was like an accident that happened, and they got separated.
Okay.
And then assumed baby was just dead. But no, we had the baby the whole time. So he's like, we got to turn in this baby. And she's like, I don't want to turn in the
it's
baby.
It's my baby.
It's my baby now. So that's pretty much the movie.
Wow.
It's kind of a bummer.
What's the name of that film?
The Light Between Oceans.
I don't want to see it.
No, okay. I would stay away. It's not
except
even
the going town part.
It's not even that great, to be honest. It's like well acted. It looks beautiful, but
any
it's a little
film with oral sex I like, but lighthouses I hate.
Yeah, is there any actual oral sex?
You said going to town.
Yeah, I think it's implied going to town.
Sorry,
going to town happened between scenes. So there you go. That's what's coming out in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Drew, do your thing with the stuff. Here we go. I got the button. No. Right, I hit the button and then shut off on it. I'm almost done with my beer. Did you say 9%?
I don't know. I was lying.
Where's the percentage?
It says.
Oh, it doesn't say. Red Cypress. You're trying to do us in.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Dangerous.
They passed the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, next week this awful Tomb Raider movie comes out. It's going to be awful. It is a video. It's a hard prediction, guys. It's a video game movie. Therefore, it will be awful. No, it might be the greatest video game movie that ever comes out, but it's still going to be an awful movie.
Yeah, what does that have to beat? Prince of Persia: Sands of Time.
Exactly. Assassin's Creed. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah.
So, if you want a good Tomb Raider story, I highly recommend playing the last two Tomb Raider video games. The revamp. It's a very good game, action packed, good story. Worth checking out if you're into video games.
All right.
So do it. Cogburn out.
Wow. Very good.
It was very short.
That's the way I like it.
Okay, good.
That's the point. But
I try,
as long as it's shorter than the intro.
Yeah.
Exactly. I try to make the 2 cents shorter than the actual introduction.
I like
to
the fact
it.
You close your laptop down.
Yep.
Yeah. Good.
I'm good. I'm
done
exactly
here.
What I'm
My
doing
work
here.
Is done here.
Yeah. Yep. He feels like we may ask him to open it back up.
Eventually.
Like, we'll see what happens.
It pops right back.
I like you. I'm done. My work here is done.
He's going to coast from here on
no
out.
No more nonsense.
Especially since, I don't know, it's looking like... We just got an email for the Vox Pop.
Oh, I have something to read now.
So you'll have something to read in the second half. We almost didn't have a Vox Pop. We'll talk about that in the second half.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break. I'm done with my beer. I'm going to need another drink.
So am I.
Drew's going to have to smoke a cigarette because he's a Nick fiend.
Mm-hmm.
It's gross. So gross. We'll take a break here.
Delicious tobacco.
We're going to play a song from the Thoroughbred soundtrack. This is the song that's like the party song in the movie.
Yay.
So it's a banger. Like I said at the top of the show, Drew.
All bangers, no mash.
All bangers, no mash. That's
like my testimony.
All bangers. No match is the name
of I love writing stuff down.
Yeah. Notes. They're so great. Notes are so great. It's here for notes. Guys, we're going to be back with the second half of the show with Pete and Drew. I pointed you guys in the opposite direction. No one noticed that. It's not a video podcast. So,
I was here. I didn't notice.
Yeah. There we go. That second beer. Really gotcha. And, all right. Enjoy the song. We'll be back.
Crespo.
Ric Flair style, daddy, here, daddy-o.
Speaking of
alligator shoes.
Chris, speaking of Ric Flair.
This is $100.
Do you remember, like maybe a month or two ago, I shared that song Ric Flair Drip with you?
Yeah.
Look up. Well, it goes woo on a bitch, if you didn't know.
Yeah. Okay, me too.
Yeah. I would highly recommend looking up the music video for it.
Oh,
Ric Flair's in it.
Ric Flair is in it.
Ric Flair is in it.
Good for you, Ric Flair. Good for you, Ric Flair.
Highly recommend watching the video.
He was just—he almost died.
Nothing else to do.
Nothing else to do except be paid for being a music video. He almost died. First off, Drew just opened an OBP. Oh, I bought those. But Peter, you brought us OBP squareds because you know huge fans of OBP.
Tom the Beer Guy.
And Tom the Beer Guy is great. And in the first half, we crushed that 4-pack of Red Cypress Ales. Carl.
That's gone.
Carl IPA, which I have never, I haven't had before.
Wow. So after the sharpness
of the IPA,
the sourness of the IPA, I can really taste the honey in the OBP.
Yeah, he loves the honey.
He
goes out and hand selects
his specific honeys.
His honey producers. Yeah. I'm gonna take a sip of this OBP squirt. See if I get the same honey. Yeah.
Can really taste it.
Swish it around
because you know it's a higher alcohol.
Yep.
I'm gonna get any more of the alcohol. But it is, I got that sweetness, especially after the IPA.
Mm-hmm.
This is good stuff. I don't drink beer that much lately, Peter. I was actually at Total Wine today. Uh-huh. This episode brought to you by Total Wine.
No, sure. It's not.
And I went to.
Not unless they pay us.
No.
And I had to re-up on my vodka.
Okay.
And it's like, you know what? I need to. The fridge is getting. The studio fridge is getting a little low on beer, so let me get a 6-pack of something to at least throw in there. Walking down the aisle, looking at all the beers, I'm like, man, I miss. Like discovering different beers and taking home a 6-pack and drinking 3 of them in a night.
Is how big my problem is.
Mm-hmm.
By that I mean drinking problem. I walk around in Total Wine. I'm like, had it.
Man,
sick of having it.
I wish.
Don't like it. Don't like that style.
I wish I could identify that many beers. So I'm looking I'm like, look at all these amazing beers that I'm not trying because I'm just trying to, you know, not be a total fat ass.
Well, we only drink beer. During podcasting or during the weekend. Most of the time, it's gin and tonics over at the Casa de Vanda.
Hell yeah. Which is, I mean...
White liquors. Sure.
You go with them clear liquors, man.
I know, right?
Although...
That's how I save my slim girlish figure.
Recorded some episodes... Yeah, exactly. You're looking great. I recorded some episodes of Devils and Details here with a guest, Ken Miller. He'll be a future guest of Cinema Crespity. So
cool.
And we recorded 2 episodes. The first episode, he had some OBPs. They thought they were delicious. But then for the second episode, between shows, he's like, man, you got anything... Like anything, like a real drink.
Uh-oh, so second episode, sloppy?
No. It was actually a lot of fun. But I was like, you know what? I still got some of this scotch brought over to us by our homie, Peter Von Zaborski.
That wasn't even particularly good scotch.
Oh, man. Don't tell that to Ken. Because he was like sipping. I was like, this is good. He was loving it.
Well, so that was literally like a $12 bottle of scotch.
Yeah, a bottle doesn't have to be expensive for it to be good.
But it's not, I can't even, it's like Glen of the something.
Yeah.
And I got
Glenn of the Woods.
I got a straight up Scott sponsor.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Who?
Compass Box Distilling.
Compass Box.
Yeah, they make the hell out of the scotch.
That is awesome.
Thanks for the plugging of my sponsors.
Very cool.
I love you.
Well, the reason why we're having you on is because we want people to check out Scotch and Good Conversation. We want our listeners to check out. It does not suck at all. It's a fun show. It's a great format. You guys are drinking all the time over there, and you're bringing us drinks, and it's so wonderful. Like I said, I did episode 88, where I think we did shots of scotch right in the middle.
I think so.
Because you just got that bottle sitting there. It's like, it was staring at me the whole time.
It's a little bit of a challenge. Like, I put it out there.
With glasses. With 2 glasses.
Yeah.
You don't say it.
No. I just wait for somebody to say, well, normally we're like, recording at, like, 1 in the afternoon, and I have to mow the lawn, like, at 5.
That's true.
So, like, mowing the lawn when you've been drinking scotch all morning. Well, afternoon.
That can be a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be a little rough.
I'm up for the challenge. I've made it this far without falling in the way. But I put the scotch out there, and usually we have beer, and we keep it in the lines. We don't get too sloppy of the time.
And we did it. We did. We had a good time. And
it's nice. It's just talking. I find alcohol makes people talk more.
Social lubricants.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's all we need.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
So people, check out the show and sponsors. We got Compass Box. We have Scout Guitars.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
But yeah. they're good people.
But they're still good people.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing with podcasting. If they listen to old episodes of Scotch and Goofy Conversation, they're gonna hear you talking about Scott guitars.
I literally was on a podcast that Nick Scout is doing called Live Podcast, like last week. I don't think it's been out.
Right, you just it was a live recording, right?
Yeah, it was fun. We got Red Light. We have La Femme du Fromage, yes. Orlando's Cheese Shop.
And
we have Orlando Meats. Best Burger in Orlando and Little Indies.
That's the other one I'm forgetting. Little Indies.
They make a glorious craft cocktail.
There you go. There you go. If you go to any episode of Scotch and Goofy Conversation, check the notes of the show. They're all in there in the notes. If you go to the website, they're all the links are there. All the sponsors are there. Check them all out. Also,
yes.
You do contests like every month. You find really cool different ways.
Wow, thank you
to encourage people.
Because I forgot.
No, yeah. Man, PFT Media is what it's all about. You find smart ways to do giveaways. People either one month it's like leave a message for the show and you're entered into the drawing. Another month it's like leave us a review. Another month it's visit a sponsor. It's a very smart way of getting people to enter engagement opportunities, sure. Is what it's called.
Right now we are doing, if you check in one of my sponsors, so La Femme du Fromage, mm-hmm. Orlando Meats,
yes.
Red Light, or Little Indies, go there. Check it out because you're going to want to go anyway because they're all just dynamite, locally owned sponsors.
Quality sponsors.
And check in and tag us along with you, or take a picture and tag us. And you have a chance to win a gift card from Orlando Meats or Little Indies.
It's
pretty simple. And quite frankly, here is a little secret. Only have one person in this contest.
Right guys, that's the secret of podcast contests. Enter them.
And chances are you will win.
So odds are you're going to win. Yes. It's pretty simple. It's a win for you because you're going to a great place, locally owned and decent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win for them because they're going to take a little bit of your money, and you're going to get a quality product.
But you're going to get a good product,
and
though,
it's a win for me. So everybody wins. Come do that, please.
Absolutely.
I love you. Thank
100%
you.
Scotch and Goofy Conversation available on Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. We'll put you on TuneIn.
Okay, thank you.
I think we may be having a similar feed problem with
Spotify,
that one. Spotify, we fixed that one, though.
Oh, yay for us.
Actually, though, I forgot. We got to talk about technical stuff with Spotify, something that you have to change when you upload your shows in order to make sure that the feed is uploaded properly.
We'll get that later. Let's talk about movies.
We'll definitely do that. Okay. Before we talk about movies, we got to finish up with the plugs.
Oh, yeah, plugs.
True. It's got a good conversation. Social media handles. It's SAGC Podcast.
No one knows.
I think. Yeah, okay. It's Scotch and Goofy Conversation is too long of a name for many.
Just Google it. You'll find it.
There you go. Google it. You'll find it and follow them along and like and share, rate and review.
That's good. Rate and review.
All those things are great. Definitely review. You're up to like 50 reviews now,
52.
I think.
52.
Great.
I know, right?
Great. Keep going.
Thanks.
Keep pushing.
We're winning.
You're winning. You're winning the game, buddy. Sure. Winning the game. Hey! Second best podcast in Orlando 2 years in a row. What do you think?
Sure.
The metrics show it. Okay. You know what I think about the Orlando Weekly.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
But good job, though. You play that game. You play it well. Drew?
Chris.
What are your plugs for now?
Antihero 419. Some places on the internet.
Some places, but not all places.
No, not all places.
You're not on that Vero, are you?
Hell no.
Good.
Are you on Pornhub?
No.
Okay.
Well, not as Antihero 419.
I didn't see it.
I'm on there, but I always check in as a guest.
One there this morning.
I'm not trying to leave comments. You ever read a comments section of a porn video? They're interesting.
I use my porn section for just
one thing
for about 5 minutes.
Guys, scroll below the video. There's a whole world.
Oh yeah,
to
there
be
is of information.
There.
Yes, there is.
Poorly animated ads and weird comments.
My favorite are the GIF comments.
Oh yeah, sure.
Because
they
make no sense out of context.
Like, why
is there a shark coming out of the water? I do not understand.
I have no time for reading. I just want to sleep when I'm done.
Just give me that porn.
Yeah.
Antihero 419.
Some places on the internet.
Stay off that Vero, though. You know about Vero, Peter?
I don't. What is that?
Vero is a new social media thing that popped up like overnight, like they all do.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the owner of that he's a dick or something?
Yes. People were like, "Oh, great, new social media platform that's no ads."
Yeah.
It's supposed to be all the things we're looking for in social media.
In theory,
it's great. a ton of people signed up right away and they shared it. Then it turns out the guy who owns it, invented it, is this UAE asshole who uses, over in Dubai, they use tons of slave labor. And oh, it's wow. like, and it's like indentured servitude type yeah. of stuff.
Okay.
They get immigrants to come in and they charge them tons of money to work on their work sites. And then they like, they charge them fines and stuff so that now they have to pay off their debt, but they can't pay it off. It's like really old school slavery type shit. He made a ton of money off the backs of the slave labor, and now he used that money to start the social media app. So then word of that got out. People are like, oh no, I signed up for this thing without doing my research. So then they look for the delete function.
And there is no one.
There is no delete function.
Wow.
You have to send them an email and ask for them to delete your account.
Which never going to happen.
They're like, we'll get back to you in 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, which is never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, so the internet's a dirty place.
It is a dirty place. Stay off that Vero. Also, recognize that MoviePass is tracking your location well beyond movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Enter your 409. That's it? That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
I heard it's that.
That's all you get then.
Wow. That was abrupt.
That's more than I normally get, so I'm okay with it.
I think you did a really nice... Yay!
Yeah, Peter likes you, Drew. He wants to hire you away for no money.
Sure. Hooray! Lateral movement!
Yeah, it is. Lateral promotion. Oh, shit, here we go. Drew Stakog will invest the world. Drew Stakog will invest the world. Drew Stakog will invest the world. That's what I was talking about.
I like that. Yeah, that's John. I sound fun. You sound sexy.
No, now I'm anonymous.
Got a Barry White thing.
What's up, everyone?
Baby.
Sexual healing.
No.
Martin, no.
That's fake racism. Yeah. I'm just mixing up my black guys on purpose.
Me too. Yeah.
Guys, Drew Stakog and Rooster Roll. We'll get to the rest of my plugs in a second. I want to talk about the PFT Media Party in a second. We have some stuff to talk about there. But first off, we're going to do this week's game. Drew, you are 5-4 after losing last week to our guest, Steve Etchy.
Oh, no.
Which means, Peter, you got to go first in this week's game, which is called Name the Booze.
Okay.
I'm going to name a celebrity.
Sure.
You tell me the type of booze that they are associated with.
Are there real answers to this?
These are all real answers. Okay. All these celebrities are behind certain brands of alcohol, whether they are like the main spokesperson or they actually own it. For example, and then I want the type. I'm not looking for brand names. The actual type.
Okay, so
Drew would know the answer to this. If I was going to say Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. Gin.
Gin. Okay. Ryan Reynolds just bought a gin company.
Me too.
You too. Congratulations. Yeah, thank you. Well done. So I'm going to name the actor, or not necessarily an actor. I'm going to name the celebrity, actor, musician. You tell me the type of booze.
Okay.
And it includes, guys, I'm telling you now, first off, this game's going to be hard.
I'll make that face again.
Drew's making a hard face. And second, not only is it going to be hard, but it encompasses all types of alcohol.
Okay.
All alcohols. Okay.
So
all
right. Even
so we have, I have two groups of five, A and B. Peter, which one do you want? A or B? Choose wisely.
B.
B, here we go. Name the type of alcohol. For number one, Sean P. Diddy Combs.
He...
Wow.
The first ones are supposed to be easy. They're supposed to be easy-ish.
He's wine. It's wrong.
I'm sorry, it's incorrect. Vodka. Okay, really? Ciroc, vodka.
I saw
vodka.
That. I knew it was wrong.
Number two. It gets harder. Right
okay,
quickly.
Good. So I'm losing here.
Number two. CeeLo Green.
He also makes wine.
No, I'm sorry. Close, but no.
Champagne?
Sake.
Okay.
Rice wine.
Okay,
sake.
So that is close.
He's behind and it's an actual Japanese sake.
Wait, that was a theme, unless I know something.
It's supposed to be very good.
Okay.
All right, number three. Marilyn Manson.
He makes wine. No, I feel like he should make some wine.
He does not.
If he's listening, you should make wine. I would drink Marilyn Manson wine.
He does not. He makes...
Absinthe.
Absinthe. You should have said absinthe.
You should have said absinthe.
God damn it.
All right, number four.
I knew that.
George Clooney.
He is...
Drew knows? Interesting.
He's behind scotch.
And good conversation. No, he is not.
No, okay. Wine?
Drew, do you know?
Tequila.
Tequila.
Okay.
The only reason why I know that is because I used to work next door to an ABC liquor store, and every once in a while I would see that truck come up with his face and the tequila. And I was like, George Clooney makes tequila?
Okay, real quick story. So George Clooney and a friend of his, who's like a chef, I think he's in the food industry, they contracted a tequila company, to make them a special blend.
I see that.
And then they just made it for them only, and they wrote it off as samples, quote, samples, because they weren't necessarily charging them.
I want fuck you money.
Right? Yeah. Fuck you money. After 2 years, though, of them creating samples, quote, samples, to send to George Clooney, The company hit him up and said, listen, I've, over 2 years, we've sent you guys over 1,000 bottles a year of this tequila. So either A, you're terrible alcoholics, yeah. or B, you're selling this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can no longer write this up as a sample. We need to figure something out. And then they, all right, fine. We'll buy into this, and this will be our brand. So that's how that happened.
Clooney Tequila.
All right, there you go. Number five.
El Clooney.
Hansen.
That's beer. Hop.
Hops, there you go. You nailed that one.
Got one.
even named the type of beer.
It's an IPA. It's not very good.
There you go. It's really.
All I mean, right. I expected it to be good.
Right. Yeah. All right. Only one out of five, but you in some ways redeemed yourself with that last one. You even said the name of the beer.
That's crazy.
All right, here we go, Drew. Number one, Dan Aykroyd.
Oh. It's vodka. Crystal Skull.
Crystal Skull. No,
Crystal Skull vodka.
Yeah, that is Dan Aykroyd. That's Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. Watching it. Yeah.
I think he even like helped come up with the recipe too. He's like he's very involved with that one. Number two, Tom Green.
I know that.
See, that's why I say choose wisely. That's why I say choose wisely.
Tom Green.
Peter knows it, and Drew's like, oh, no.
This motherfucker's making booze.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to either.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Tom Green.
Beer.
Beer is correct. Very good.
Nailed it. Yeah, yeah.
Number three.
What is it, though? What does he make?
Oh, I don't know the name.
I think
it's just Tom Green beer.
I think it might be Tom Green beer.
Yeah, I think it's just Tom Green beer.
It's in Canada.
Which makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Number three, Justin Timberlake.
Son of a fat monkey whore.
Wow.
I'm not expecting that
reaction.
Tell
us how you really feel.
Wow. Champagne.
Tequila. Number four.
The hip kids love the tequila.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I kind of love it too. Number four.
I don't.
Some people, it doesn't agree with them.
Yeah.
For me and tequila, we have an exclusive contract of mutual agreeability.
It no longer agrees with me.
Oh, did you have an unfortunate episode?
Many unfortunate episodes.
He didn't learn this lesson right away. Number four, Drew. Drew Barrymore.
Oh, something gross.
Wine.
Wine is correct. Ah! Barrymore wine. Drew Barrymore wine is correct. And you said wine three times.
Yes.
Like a rosé or something. I was about to
say. I think she has a... Actually, is it a rosé? I think you're right. This is a rosé. I think you're right. No. Rosé is... Pitt and Jolie had a rosé manufacturer for a minute.
Ooh.
Okay. Apparently, Pitt was the one really...
So I've lost. Can we stop? Or
no, I want to see if he gets this one. This is the last one. Number five.
The end of the dirt. Yeah.
Danny DeVito. He's not going to get this one. Danny DeVito. Yep.
Danny.
He has a very specific liquor that he loves. I even gave a damn it. I should not have said that.
Danny DeVito.
I've already lost. So.
I really am
he wants
trying to.
He wants to. What would be a natural? Yeah, you're not gonna get it.
DeVito.
It's not happening.
Danny DeVito.
Say Danny DeVito a couple more times.
Are you fucking serious?
Danny DeVito.
I'm trying to think.
I swear to God, if he pulls this out.
Fucking idea. A lemon liqueur.
Oh my God. What does that say there? Can you read that? What does that say? Can you read that?
Lemon liqueur.
Oh, you're fucking kidding me!
Limoncello. That's I can't. I don't
Limoncello. That's a lemon liqueur.
It does say limoncello.
Limoncello.
Yeah. I saw lemon.
Yeah, you're right. Lemon.
Wow.
Drew, you got it, dude.
Wow.
You pulled that out of your ass. I'm gonna give that one to you. 4 out of 5. All done.
What the fuck?
Somewhere you read an article
about lemons. About the DeVito on lemons.
Yeah.
What in the hell? Wow.
Drew just blew his own mind. Yeah. Look at that vein popping out the side of his head. He's freaking out. I think you're stroking out.
Yeah.
Hey, first off, Drew.
I got my ass handed to me.
I know.
What?
Yeah.
Drew, well done, but can you please put your pants back on and get off the table?
No, I can't.
Seriously. You're very impressive.
My mind just exploded inside my own skull.
Limoncello.
Wow.
All right, there you go. Well done, Drew.
That was fucking.
Putting
man.
You at 6-4. All right, back to the plugs. PFT Media Meetup. It is a first Cinema Crespity So Meetup. Through PFT Media. We're doing it at the Copper Rocket Pub here in Maitland.
Yeah, near your house.
Yeah, right near my house so I can walk home. Uh-huh. March 24th from 5 to 9 p.m. Let me tell you guys what we're going to have to offer. First off, Pete, very, very, very few people have seen this. I'm going to show it to you right now. We're going to have a PFT magnet giveaway. We announced it on Facebook, but we haven't put the design out. This
the
is
kids
what,
love the magnets.
The kids love the magnets. So this is, that's what our magnet's going to look like. That's
it's
our
my favorite magnet.
Isn't that
in
awesome?
The world.
Isn't that a great magnet?
I love it.
So I'm going to make sure you get one. Okay. Drew's going to get one. We're all going to get one. And then we're going to have about 100 magnets to give away at the PFT media party. At
worth
the
it already.
Yep, and then we are working with Get Rad Records, a punk rock label, and they're going to have some stuff to give away, and we're probably going to do that via some bits of impromptu live trivia with Simon Time.
Oh, I love Simon Time.
Simon's a fun dude, so what's going to happen is, it's from 5 to 9.
Okay.
From 6 to 8,
okay.
We booked AJ Frischer, a.k.a. AJ in Evolution. He's going to bring his guitar.
Guitar guy.
The guitar guy is going to play us some very cool music from 6 to 8.
Okay.
Obviously, he's not going to play for 2 hours straight. He's going to need to take a little breaks here and there. During those breaks, we're going to try to do some impromptu Simon Time trivia. Just pull people, whoever's there, pull them out. And we're going to have Get Rad Records giveaways, work on some other giveaways to do. We're going to have prizes for people. So we're going to be playing games.
Drink specials?
Working on the drink specials.
Drink specials.
I'm working on Copper Rocket right now. Have some drink specials available for
will
everyone.
Will there be strippers?
There will not be strippers because they're weirdly illegal in Central Florida in a public setting. They have to like... Can't take off the bottoms. Got the pasties.
Okay, so
it's not as good. And then has it with men? Men don't have to cover their nipples if they're male strippers, right?
Covered my nipples right now.
Well, which we appreciate.
I've an inverted nipple.
Yeah. Do you really?
Oh, no, not anymore.
You just gotta put your thumb in your mouth and go.
And blow. It pops right out.
It pops right out.
Yeah.
So it comes to the party, PFT Media Party, March 24th.
Big fun.
It's gonna be a lot. That's gonna be great. And then many of our podcasters will be there. Tim Murphy will be there from Poking the Bear. Mark Baratelli will be there from Orlando Opinions. We'll be there, Drew and I. We got the What's the Fuss guys will be there, Rocky and Raya. Of course, Steve Etchie will be there. It's going to be great.
I might come.
Hopefully. I hope you can, buddy.
Just make sure you clean up after yourself.
I know. I did poop in your studio.
Hey, that's what the bidet is for, you know? It's to keep that butt clean. Cinema Crespi, so follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter's at Crespi, so you guys know the drill, et cetera, et cetera. There was something, Drew...
Chris, that
I wanted to spend at least like 10 minutes yelling about. I forgot what it was. So not movie related at all.
Some sort of SJW bullshit.
Something about like white people. I don't know. But now it's escaping me.
SJW?
Yeah, Social Justice Warriors. Okay. Yeah.
Remember, this is America's number one libtard cuck snowflake.
I'm a libtard cuck snowflake.
What?
I'm
libtard,
a libtard
snowflake.
Cuck. Snowflake.
Cuck?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's
yeah,
cuck?
You know, like cuckold?
Okay, yes. Yeah. Of course I do.
Yeah. The right, wing, up, the right on, wing likes to use a cuck as a pejorative to orbit, almost obey the male.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't like football, I guess.
You don't like football, me neither.
It's stupid.
Few things I care less about.
Yeah, it sucks. Oh, Patriots, bro. Anyway. I don't know about white people. Hashtag white people.
Stupid.
Go to Twitter and check out Black Twitter. Hashtag white people. WYPIPO.
Okay.
Just to see a cavalcade of white people ridiculousness.
And
there you go. There you go.
Go to South Florida.
You go too far south. But then if you keep going south, it gets white again.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We don't have a second week in a row. Looks like no Billy D's Death at the Movies. Last week, he was on his honeymoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice. Congratulations
to
him.
He just got married.
Well,
Courtney. Courtney's a very, very nice person. Got to meet her. She's very sweet.
He did go to the Overlook.
He also went to the Overlook Hotel for
he might not be...
a fake Overlook Hotel right out of The Shining.
Okay, that's
yeah, for their honeymoon. Where is it, Virginia?
Yeah, West Virginia.
West Virginia. Went to this hotel. That's like this big hotel that's almost practically empty. There's no one in there. But it's huge, grand rooms, giant hallways, very ornate looking.
Yeah.
If you go to his Instagram, I Love Blood, you'll see a lot of great pictures.
Is the Shining Hotel still a thing?
You know what's weird? The Shining Hotel, the exterior of the hotel is one hotel.
Interior is another.
Yeah, and then the interior is another. Okay. And I think one is in Colorado, and I'm not sure where the other
one is.
So
there's actually three then.
Well, the one that he went to wasn't actually tied to the movie.
They called it the name.
It's just like the style of that huge, almost haunted style. Okay. But it's so big and so empty. It's crazy.
Me too.
We went to the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema in Brooklyn. And after the movie, I'm sitting in the lobby and I look down at the ground. They had the
fucking carpet.
The carpet from The Shining.
Wow, that's creepy.
Yeah, the pattern. Yeah, it was creepy. I was looking at this very specific geometric pattern.
Did you notice that, or was there a sign someplace?
No,
with
I noticed
arrow?
That. No,
on the way
no
out,
sign.
He's like, Drew, look down. And I went, oh, shit, it's The Shining.
Yeah.
Wow, good.
Because he went to the bathroom. I'm just standing around waiting. I'm
you
just
guys
looking at the ground.
Love movies.
A little too much, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, that's
sometimes.
That's The Shining.
Yeah, so no, I would have went, there's something really familiar. Let's go drink.
Yeah, it's a great. You know what? Speaking of drinking, at that theater at the Alamo Draft House, we went to an early movie, so the place was still closed, but they have a bar that is half
museum.
Bar, half wax museum, and it's like the Carnival of Horrors if you go through it. So it's a lot of like old style wax figurines, and apparently in the corner they have a bizarre genitalia section where it's
me
all
too.
Who doesn't like
my pants,
and it's like look at all these like horrible like 1800 like diseases that that what they've done to all those and then you could go there and get a cocktail and look in the cocktails.
Bizarre genitalia.
Bizarre. More bars should have a bizarre
genitalia
section.
Yeah,
just a section.
Just places in general should.
And it should definitely be towards the back.
Okay,
because of the kids.
No, right up front.
Yeah, gotta worry about the kids. Now, guys, if you listen quietly, you can hear the sounds of the wild Trashimus redneckimus. You hear that right there? What they do is they like to leave their dogs on the concrete patio where it pisses and shits.
Oh, okay.
Because they're terrible dog owners and they don't take it out for walks.
So they listen to the podcast? There it is.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Fantastic.
Not big listeners to the podcast.
Them?
Yeah.
No.
I got that. I got a neighbor who I allude to because he...
Because he definitely doesn't listen. It's a horrible neighbor.
He's just the
worst. And is he, let me take a guess, a white?
Yeah. Go figure. He's the most white.
Hashtag white people.
Yeah. He's got a Camaro in his backyard.
Oh,
true story.
Boy.
Yeah.
In the backyard.
Yeah.
T-top.
Yeah, I believe so.
Of course.
He got in a boat in the front yard.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That sounds about right.
Don't you have an HOA to take care of this shit?
No, I don't live in a fancy neighborhood.
That's why the HOAs exist,
it's
man.
It's worth it. I know.
It can be. They can be. Some of them are evil.
Yeah.
You guys, you see on Fox? Okay, this is my life now. So we haven't heard from Billy. People follow him on the internet at I Love Buddy. He's a great guy. Okay, so since we don't have a Billy D set in the movies, let's do the Vox Populi.
I know what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
All right, shut that off. Drew, what do we got?
We got an email from Ron.
We got an email from Ron. Thank
Yay,
you,
Ron.
Ron is the man. We love Ron.
Hey, so I saw A Wrinkle in Time.
Ooh, okay, perfect.
And I am pretty sure the nimble, numismatic, noble, nocturnal, not Drew, has not been watching the Twitterverse. You are correct, Ron. I have not.
Drew is not really in the Twitter.
No, I mean, I'm on there barely. And doesn't know the reaction to the headline of Black Panther versus Wrinkle in Time. The way the culture is pitting one black artist's creation to another.
Interesting.
I ask, do you guys agree that this is not a competition?
Hmm. Keep going. You can read the whole
thing. Is there room for all of these art forms to share the spotlight, if not the coveted number one spot? This was my number 7 Crespo Hundo. Broken Heart slowed down my movie watching.
Aww.
But this film, I already said my piece on it. I do want to shine the light on the little brother actor who made this film a solid B. He managed to be the beacon of value in the poor pacing. What do you guys think makes a good child actor? This kid gave me range and conviction. You should keep an eye out for him. Much love, Ron Ron.
All right, first off, Ron, I remember that. He set that in as his Crespo Hundo. He put it online. So I'm looking for it now. If I can find it, I want to find his actual review because he said he read his piece. I mean, what's the point? Where is it? Ron!
You gotta find it, Chris.
I gotta find it.
It's you.
Ron!
You got it.
Where is it? Ron! Maybe it's in the Facebook. Damn it, it's in the Facebook. What was his first question? He had a couple questions in there.
First one.
About pitting...
The way the culture is pitting one black artist's creation against another. Do you agree that this is not a competition?
It's interesting, yeah.
And is there room for these art forms to share the same spotlight, if not the number one coveted spot?
Very interesting. So, A Wrinkle in Time... directed by Ava DuVernay, black female director, Black Panther. Obviously, it's black people from
director.
Top to bottom, black male director. So both big budget movies by black directors in a time when that's rare, let alone the fact that now there's two in theaters at the same time.
I mean, right now, they're the number one and two spots.
Number one and two spots at the box office, black filmmakers, which is first time in box office history. Shows you how backwards we are. Supposedly liberal Hollywood,
white
right?
people.
Yeah, so liberal. Oh, yeah. They're so great. Meanwhile, anyway. It's not a competition, right? Yeah, they're two different movies. Black Panther, action movie, Wrinkle Time. It's a kid's movie. It's for tweens. Did you ever read the book Wrinkle Time?
No.
No? It's an older book. I read it when I was a kid back in the 80s. What do you think, Drew? A competition?
I mean, not necessarily. If they were in the same genre and coming out on the same day. Like if Avengers was going up against Justice League
on the exact same weekend.
Exactly. That is competition.
Okay.
These are two starkly different movies.
Right.
Two very different companies making, and therefore two very specific different audiences.
Would we be having the same conversation if these were two white directors?
No, we wouldn't. Yeah. Nobody would give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly, because then it's just business as normal. Yeah. So, yeah, there wouldn't be. But
unfortunately, business is normal.
Exactly, 100%.
But now that we have black directors and black filmmakers, then we have to call it out.
But it's the thing, because there's so few of them.
That's a sad truth.
He's saying that this is a debate on black Twitter, which I alluded to
is
earlier.
Is black Twitter a thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Black Twitter's a thing, which is...
Is it, like, literally a thing, or is there a subset of Twitter?
Of Twitter. Okay. There's black Twitter, there's gay Twitter, there's film Twitter. Pretty much any time your feed is focused on a specific topic or demographic. Like, if you follow certain hashtags or if you just follow certain people, then you're going to see the same thing over and over
in your
feed.
What is this hashtag you speak? No, I'm just
going to...
Yeah, I know.
remember the pound sign?
It's no longer the pound sign.
It's been renamed. Kevin told me all about Black Twitter. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. And Black Twitter is fun. So, for example, if you were to watch Game of Thrones, but you're, like, following along on Twitter with other people as you watch it, if you go to the hashtag Game of Thrones and you use that, you see a whole bunch of people commenting about the show and then using that hashtag. That's how you follow along.
Okay.
But if you want to follow along on Black Twitter, hashtag Dem Thrones. Yeah. And then that's almost predominantly black people.
Black Twitter sounds wonderful.
It's so much better. Yeah. Oh my God, so much better. Mr. Robot, if you're watching Mr. Robot, it's hashtag Mr. Robot. But if you're watching it on Black Twitter, it's Dem hashtag... Robot? That bot.
Okay.
It's that bot.
All right.
Which is, oh man. And then I will put out a Mr. Robot tweet, and then I'll use both Mr. Robot, hashtag
Good
Mr. Robot,
you.
And hashtag that bot, and the hashtag that bot gets way more traction than the hashtag Mr. Robot.
Can we make up a scotch and good conversation, Black Twitter?
Hashtag that scotch.
Okay. Boom, use it.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yeah. Yeah, so Black Twitterers, listen to Scotch and Good Conversation, a predominantly white show. And
unfortunately.
But go to episode 89, DJ Nigel John. There you go. He's over there at Studio 17, which is a predominantly black production company. And hashtag. That's scotch.
That's gonna have to add it.
Yeah. That's scotch, yo.
That's learn something new every day.
That's good stuff there.
Yeah.
And then like I have a specific Twitter list that's my film Twitter, and it's all film writers and critics and stuff. So I go through it, and 90% of the tweets are about film.
Uh-huh.
And it's ridiculous.
You just made my life so much more complicated.
I know. It is. It's more complicated than it needs to be. It doesn't have to. You can just use Twitter, or you can do the deep dive. It's up to you.
Yeah.
You know, are those dogs fighting?
Maybe.
It sounds like they're battling.
It sounds like they're having a competition with us.
It's really bringing something to the podcast for me.
That's possible.
Man. I'm a dog owner. I love dogs.
You're a dog owner. Well, your dog is quiet during the show, though.
Have you listened to episode 24?
So the famous dog episode?
Barkcast.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barkcast. Yeah, Barkcast is what you call it.
Yeah.
I have not listened to Barkcast. Dog, you told me about Barkcast ahead of time.
It's terrible.
Which is hysterical. But it's still out there.
It's with a Christian also.
You can hear it on Spotify. Yeah.
Okay.
now
you can.
That they can definitely. Yeah. And that's it for the Vox Populi.
Yep. Yeah,
guys, I gotta say, Ron saved the Vox Populi because that email came in like just recently.
Yep.
And so I was prepared to axe the segment. If we weren't gonna get any emails 2 weeks in a row, then I guess the Populi is done with the Vox.
Yeah.
Right? They have the voice is silent. So it's up to you people. If you wanna keep doing the Vox Populi, you gotta send us the content.
Here's the thing, Chris. I have a feeling the Crespo Hundo has taken out a lot of your Vox Populi.
Very popular.
It's possible.
The kids love the Crespo
Hundo. A lot of people are into Crespo Hundo, and they're all watching new movies, and they're posting the reviews on the Crespo
Hundo.
Which
is perfectly fine, but the Vox Populi isn't just about movie reviews. Yeah. I ask every week for not just movie reviews,
anything.
But questions, topic suggestions.
Comments.
Crespo Dome battles, comments, life advice questions, whatever you need. We got Dr. Drew right here.
I am.
So people, if you want the segment, then you got to participate. Ron saved the segment, because if we go 2 weeks in a row with nothing, then it's done.
Over.
So Ron saved it with that one email. Thank you, Ron.
Good job, Ron.
Billy T, he has carte blanche. It's his segment. He can go as many weeks as he wants to without doing it, and then if he wants to bring it back, he can bring it back. He's enjoying life with his new wife.
Yeah,
true. Life with the wife.
Fucking.
They've been together, living together for like 7 years.
Oh, insane.
Literally,
yeah.
Paperwork and tax write-offs is all they did. Yep, and a party. Right. They had a party. Which is great.
It was a nice party.
Free party for us.
Yeah, we were there. Yeah.
Only cost me $600 to get there and be there.
It's day.
Hey, you want a party in the Upper East Side? This is what you're going to do. Oh, you want a bagel?
God, this guy. Seriously, within being on New York soil for maybe about 15 minutes.
No, it took a few hours.
The fucking Guido came out in him. It was ridiculous.
Did you code switch? That's the name.
I did some code switching by accident because I threw a forget about it. I was like, oh shit.
And then it just went from there.
All those goddamn Ginzos and Guidos are freaking surrounded by them. Yeah, but it's a specific breed of New York white people. It's a little different in New York. I grew up differently. Then I came down here to the South, and then now I have people like the redneckimus trashimus that's living next to us.
Yes.
Listen to those songs. Just shh. Oh, so good. It's like I live next to a puppy mill. It's awesome. It's fantastic. It's like,
dogs over there.
As long as it doesn't smell
like a puppy mill.
It depends on the time of day you're outside. Like I said, they piss and shit on the concrete.
It's very nice. Yeah, I like it here a lot. I'm going to move in.
Oh, hey, you know what?
There's plenty of room.
There may be a neighbor over here. Maybe somebody. Somebody died. The wrong people died, in my opinion. The quiet ones died. Yeah. And then the dog owners are moving in more dog owners.
Can't trust dog owners.
White Trashimus Maximus. There we go. That's what I was looking for. Guys, I don't like white people. I mean, you guys are great. Yeah, I love you guys. You're fantastic. But as a whole,
I don't
you
like
know,
white
good.
People.
Yeah,
no. White people are awful.
Recognize. Recognize.
Serial killers.
You know what's worse? The worst,
genocide too. We're really good at genocide. If there's one thing white people know,
genocidal serial killers. Yep. Love public shootings. Love them. Public shootings.
Bad and, television.
Yep.
Bad. That ruins bad TV. Have you seen BET?
Yes, it's awful.
A lot of bad stuff on there. Or remember UPN when that first started?
No.
I used to know a really horrible acronym for that channel.
I'm sure you did. Growing up in the South as a terrible white person. Mm-hmm. UPN had like Homeboys in Outer Space shows like that.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Well, what networks do? And then once they caught on with like Martin and Living Color and stuff, then they switched over to more predominantly white programming. That's what new networks do. They put out a lot of minority focused programming to get their numbers up, and then they switch over. So when the WB network started, it was all the Wayans Brothers show, the Jamie Foxx show, stuff like that. And then they caught on, changed their name to the CW, and now it's Archie.
Yep.
That's a little bit of a TV 101 there for everyone there, and how the racial minorities are exploited for their purpose in a capitalist society.
Guess. Wow, this went.
This is what I do.
This is Chris.
This is what I do, man. Wow. This is what I do, and this is how I keep my download numbers low.
Okay.
By insulting the whites, who is a majority of my listenership. But it's impossible to be racist against white people. If you think it is, then you know nothing about racism.
Wow. So, okay.
Because I'm coming at you hot.
Angry.
Oh, yeah, I'm seething on the inside.
The hatreds?
Burning the hatreds. We're going to have to bring back the outrages.
The outrages are back.
The outrages and the hatreds are going to be back. Okay, now I remember what I was looking for. So since
you know what really grinds my gears?
Movie news, here we go. Movie news.
Yay.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, time for the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespity So Movie News segment. Guys, Brad Pitt is not dating Jennifer Lawrence. You heard it here second. But first, before we do anything else, we need a Justin Bieber update. Peter, what's up with the Biebs?
He has his shirt on.
Wow!
Wow!
For the first time in a really long time, Justin Bieber's wearing a shirt. Holy crap.
There we go. Biebs update done. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks. I wasn't aware I was responsible.
All our guests are responsible to bring us a Biebs update.
Apparently he has his shirt on.
He does, but he does lately because he's back in church.
Well, also, I feel like if I was Justin Bieber, I would have my shirt off.
Hell yeah.
I'm Peter Von Taborski. I have my shirt on.
Yeah, I'm Chris Crespo. I'm born with a shirt on. Yeah. Came out with a shirt. It was gross. Very messy.
But Justin Bieber, shirt on.
Shirt off. tattoos, but now shirt on, Christian.
He's got those really ugly tattoos.
Yeah, terrible tattoos. Too. Terrible tattoos. All right, guys, real quick, a returning segment. Time for This Week in Rape Culture.
Hooray! Oh, my God. we've been doing this for a while.
We've been doing this for a while.
This is
It's dropped off for a few weeks.
It has, wow.
But yeah. I have an update.
Well, I can't wait.
This Week in Rape Culture.
Yeah, I hope it's not me.
Yeah, I know, right? Fingers crossed.
So, the Weinstein Company.
Okay,
the Weinstein Company. They were going through a sale.
It was a close one.
It was a close one. It was looking like they were going to be bought by an investment group that is consisted entirely of women.
All the ladies.
A group of women was going to buy the disgraced Weinstein
All
Company.
All the ladies.
The Weinstein Company includes the show Project Runway.
Uh-huh. Easy for you to say.
It was.
I know, right?
And a library of 277 films. The deal was going to be around $225 million. You notice I'm talking about this stuff in the past tense.
Yes.
Deal fell through. Didn't happen. Weinstein Company is still trying to avoid bankruptcy.
We should buy it.
We don't have that kind of money.
You got $225 million.
No, I didn't know. I wasn't.
Oof, a lot of money.
I know.
But 227 movies, man. That's a lot of movies. So Weinstein Company is still in turmoil and disarray.
You know what you could do if you had a lot of money?
Mm-hmm.
Is buy it and just delete all those films.
Oh, man. But there's some good ones in there. I would delete some of them. I'd be picky choosy. Project Runway.
Gone.
I'd sell it. I just sell it to the Bravo networkers.
Love Project Runway.
There you go. I'd sell it to you, Peter. You can have it for a dollar. I'd sell you Project Runway for a dollar. You can do whatever you want with it.
I'd give it to Tim Gunn.
Instant improvement on the show, Tim Gunn. Tim Gunn is great. Fred Durst has been trying to get into movie making for a long time. Has actually made movies. He's made a couple. And the weird thing about Fred Durst is in the early 2000s, he actually hooked up with David Fincher.
Yeah.
Okay. He makes films, right?
David Fincher makes movies like the aforementioned Seven and The Game.
Oh, we like him and The Game.
We like him.
We like him a lot.
Yes. Big fans of his. And he saw Fred Durst and he liked what he saw and he took him under his wing for a while and kind of mentored him.
Then he realized he's Fred Durst?
Because he did a movie with Jesse Eisenberg called The Education of Charlie Banks back in 2007,
from the movie about Facebook.
Yes.
Okay, nailed it.
Yes, nailed it.
Sure.
He also did the football comedy, The Long Shots with Ice Cube.
Sure.
Both of those movies, not really great reviews. And then he hasn't made a movie since then, but... The director of Limp Bizkit videos, TV commercials, and those movies, Fred Durst, is back with the movie to star John Travolta.
I saw this someplace somewhere on the internet.
It made some waves a couple days ago, the fact that Fred Durst is working with John Travolta in a movie now, a movie called Moose, in which John Travolta plays a man who becomes obsessed with his favorite on-screen action hero, and he becomes a stalker of the movie star, played by Devon Sawa, who hasn't been in a movie in, I feel like, forever.
Not sure who that is.
Devon Sawa was a dude who was, like, early 2000s, one of these young actors who was like, maybe this guy will be a movie star, and they threw him at a bunch of stuff, and nothing caught on.
Happened to me.
Happened to all of us, the best of us. My favorite Devon Sawa movie is this little tiny film that no one remembers called Slackers.
And I remember that film with the hat on sideways.
Maybe it had Jason Schwartzman as like a stalkery nerd dude.
Okay. No, I'm wrong.
And,
go ahead.
Okay, and it's set on a college. Jeremy Sisto, who is in one of the Law and Order iterations, is in it. And the older brother from Pete and Pete. Not the young Pete, but the old Pete.
Sure.
He was on that show. And it's a college comedy. And I remember it being very funny. And no one remembers that.
Fred Durst.
Yeah, Fred Durst directing, John Travolta starring with this Devon Sawa guy, and he's, we'll see. We'll see if it's any good.
There hope for that at all?
No.
Okay.
No hope whatsoever.
Zero.
So I can continue to hate Fred Durst.
I don't know if he's worth hating anymore.
You have to remember, Fred Durst single-handedly...
Ruined the 90s?
Ruined the 90s and the early 2000s, but B, brought about the multicolored baseball cap.
And rape culture.
He's a big fan of rape culture. The ball cap is gone, Drew.
He's bald, right?
He's bald.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why he wore the ball cap, by the way.
He's bald and he's not confident enough like you are to just rock the ball.
What's he doing now?
He is doing the, what is this? A bowler? Oh,
let me see.
He just now he has a hat with a brim on it. Yeah. That's all. He changed hats for his older age. At least he aged up his hat go with his age.
Yeah.
I'm actually wanting to give him a little bit of credit for
that. I'm really glad he's not wearing a red New York Yankees hat.
Yes, yeah. I'm just trying to give him credit for a Marlins one.
The red hat really isn't a good idea at this juncture
now. No, it's especially now.
Yeah, I feel like
from a distance.
Most of the people who are falling red hats are currently falling red hats.
Yes, yeah. the red hat. Yes.
Yeah.
I think
everybody knows what we're talking about.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
has
confirmed, I'm a big fan of Robert Downey Jr., he's confirmed a few of his upcoming projects, which includes a new version of Dr. Doolittle.
Okay.
The Voyage of Dr. Doolittle.
We need that?
No, not at all. He did say in his quote, and this quote starts him talking about Doolittle, but then goes into some other stuff. First of all, The Missus is front and center with Joe Roth producing Doolittle. I'm having a good time, though I've decided to give myself like 40 additional challenges, like a Welsh accent, which even Welsh people say is hard to do. Then there's all this stuff down the pike. We're looking at another Sherlock Holmes.
Yay.
We're developing Perry Mason for HBO.
Okay.
And I still want to do Pinocchio.
Why not?
So these are all Robert Downey Jr. projects coming down the line. The first mention, any sort of confirmation that Sherlock Holmes 3 is in production of any way, even pre-production.
How old is that dude? He's like 52?
He's pushing 50. Yeah. He's got to be over 50 by now, right?
Got to.
Yeah, he's been around since
I feel like he's older than 80s. I am.
He might be.
I think he might be 50.
But he's got that like Hollywood money, the HGH money. He's extremely rich, probably good genetics helping him out too.
Yeah, so and he did all those drugs, and imagine what he could have been like if he didn't.
If he didn't, the elasticity of his skin would be even better.
He's handsome.
Yeah, you go back and look at that the mugshot when he's in the orange jumper, one of his
still
mugshots.
Still pretty good looking.
Still good looking, but you can be like, oh, this is a guy who's letting drugs take hold.
He's a junkie.
You can see it.
Yeah.
And now he's addicted to work and exercise.
Yeah.
He's 52.
You nailed it. Good job. You nailed it. So he replaced it because he has an addictive personality. So he replaced the drugs with work.
I did that.
And I'm sorry to do that too. Sure. But I try to mix in the drugs as well.
I'm still just stuck on the drugs.
It's more fun.
It is. Hey, the truest thing said on this show, drugs are more fun than work. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your job is.
Correct.
Unless your job is taking drugs.
I think earlier we said the Fred Durst sucks also.
He's kind of shitty.
Second truest thing.
Yeah.
I interrupted. I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure music sucks.
I was under the impression that Fred Durst sucks was a universal truth.
Yeah.
that we have just accepted as a species.
That we built into our... Someone wrote an article breaking down scientifically based on the data points in reviews. Why Nickelback is so bad. And they use all the reviews of all their work to find the common data points of what everyone's complaining about. And it's like, scientifically, this is why Nickelback sucks. Then you read it and you're like,
that makes sense.
It all makes perfect sense.
I'm only vaguely familiar with the Nickelback.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is, if you hear some Nickelback songs, you're like, oh, that's Nickelback. Like, I've heard this in commercials or Dude Bros and their cars driving by with the music very loud.
Every generation has a Nickelback. And
thing is about Nickelback, they're a bunch of Canadian stoners.
They are. The Canadian stoners who just make music that's right down the middle.
Oh, boy.
That dog next door is not going to shut up.
No, not at all.
Would it be bad to throw poison meat over the fence?
It all depends on...
I'm such a dog lover.
It all depends on your moral compass, Chris.
My moral compass is set to loving dogs. Man, I was just at my parents' house this morning. They got a Bichon Frise. Shout out to Nana. Nana's listening right now.
Nana.
And I walked. I was like, Nana. She's on the back of the couch, so we're kind of face length. And she gave me the face licking.
Not your Nana.
No, Nana the dog. Yeah, okay. No, my Nana's in a...
I saw your Nana giving you face.
Yeah, no, Nana doesn't do that. Nana does. And you're like, I'm just like, oh, your butthole mouths on my face is so cute. I know you just licked your asshole.
My wife says that's the same thing to me every morning.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a gross dog. That mouth is disgusting. Oh, you're so cute. It's a Bichon Frise. And my mom keeps her clean. So she's just a little white puffball.
Yeah, just
cotton ball. You just want to squeeze her and kiss her. Oh, God.
Okay.
I love that dog so much. And you know what else is great about her?
I don't know.
She doesn't fucking bark.
Oh.
You ring the doorbell, she'll bark. Yeah, but then you walk inside and she'll look at you and then she'll run behind the couch because she's a tiny little thing. Last news story, Terminator 6 in production.
Is that necessary?
No.
Okay.
Second to last.
God, no.
I've got a news story.
Peter, please don't. You have one?
That you didn't pick up.
Okay, apparently. Well then we'll throw this real quick. Arnold Schwarzenegger for sure coming back as a T-800. Okay. Linda Hamilton reprising her role as Sarah Connor. Jim Cameron involved as producer, heavily involved because he got the rights back to Terminator.
Fuck yeah.
Because his original deal, when he sold it off, it had a due date. Like, this deal expires and I get the rights back no matter what.
That's smart.
Yeah, it was very smart. Oh, Jim Cameron, I think he's not proven to be a very smart guy.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
the smartest ex-truck driver ever.
Wow. He didn't know that likely.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the ways he made money before he got into films was as a truck driver.
Driving trucks.
Yeah.
All right.
They cast Mackenzie Davis. Mackenzie Davis, she's on the show Halt and Catch Fire.
I was thinking Mackenzie Phillips.
I was thinking Viola Davis.
I don't know who that is.
Black lady.
Okay.
Mackenzie Davis is very white.
Oh, yeah.
The name of Mackenzie.
Mackenzie, yeah, it's a white name. Mackenzie
John
Davis.
Phillips' daughter.
That's like saying...
Who?
Mackenzie Phillips is John Phillips and the Mama and Papa's daughter.
The Mama and Papa, all right, we know a different John Phillips.
I was about to say.
Not nearly as successful as the Mama.
Nowhere near.
More better known for being the brother of
Stinky Phillips,
aka Chris Crimson, aka
mm-hmm. Okay, I'm
sorry. Yeah, you don't even know about him.
Don't
him.
Barely.
He's a horrible human.
He's infamous.
His name is Stinky.
Stinky Crimson.
Sure.
Oof.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted again.
No, it's fine. Mackenzie Davis, Drew, is the lady who played the replicant prostitute in Blade Runner 2049. She's been around in a couple of things.
Oh, didn't we just... saw the trailer.
She was in the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror.
I like that one.
Oh, she was
a great episode. With the music and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
The trailer with...
She's in The Martian.
Charlize Theron.
Tully.
Boom.
She's the one who shows up. I'm here to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tully looks like fun. Tully is... Charlize Theron plays a working mom who is just beat down by life.
Overwhelmed,
trying to raise the kids and a husband who's not supportive. Ron Livingston's the husband. And then the trailer ends with someone just showing up and be like, "Hi, I'm Tully. I'm here to help." And Charlize Theron's like, "What?" And then it's like, cut to. It's from the writer of Juno.
Okay.
Yeah. Diablo Cody. I think she's directing it as well. Oh, no. Jason Ritter is directing it. Jason Ritter directed Young Adult. You ever see Young Adult?
No.
That's another Charlize Theron movie where she plays a bad person. She's really good at playing like bad morally bad people.
Yep.
She's really good at that.
Who Charlize Theron is.
Most popular role, Drew, besides Monster. Because she doesn't look like her.
Yeah, no, she doesn't.
She looked horrible.
I mean, she was in...
She's like, she put on weight, and they had to put makeup on her.
She was in Aeon Flux, which was a flop, but it was kind of popular. Yeah, Mad Max, she was Furiosa in Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay.
She was...
Okay, I'm going to pull up a picture of her, and you'd be like, devastatingly gorgeous South African.
Yeah, she's good looking.
Oh, more than good looking.
I mean, okay.
So much more than good looking.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, she's pretty looking.
Yeah, she's insane.
I like her a lot.
And fiercely talented. She's so good. She's so good that I watched some like Reindeer Games. I'm like, how are you so bad in this? Have you ever seen Reindeer Games with Ben Affleck?
Oh, so
awful.
And Gary Sinise? Gary Sinise. Oof. This OBP squared is now jumping on Sinise.
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan. Yeah. Lieutenant Dan band. He has
the
band.
Isn't Reindeer Games vaguely a...
A
Tom Clancy deal?
No.
Sorry, screaming your mic.
Harrison Ford. Air Force One.
No.
Get off my plane.
Give me back my son.
Ransom. Mel Gibson.
Yeah, he was in that. Give me back my son.
He was the bad guy. He was the cop who was the bad guy.
He
Gary
was good in that.
Yeah, Gary Sinise is good. I like Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Dan.
He's almost always good. Lieutenant Dan. Yeah, what is that? Lieutenant Dan band. It's an actual band that he does now, which is funny.
That's unfortunate.
Usually plays for like USO groups and stuff.
Yeah, okay,
like
that's fortunate. That's
he's
nice.
He's very pro veterans and not necessarily the military, but the personnel.
The people.
So you'd have to be a dick to be pro people.
No, he's not a dick. You have to be a dick to be pro-military.
Yeah.
Like, all the armed forces, look at these guns and these tanks. I'm like, they're war machines.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so. Was it guns that I wanted to yell about? Yo, fuck your guns, people.
Lieutenant Dan.
Gary Sinise. Who else was he in? He was in
Charlize Theron.
Reindeer Games. John Frankenheimer's Reindeer Games, starring Donald Logue and Danny Trejo, is a shit film. And Charlize Theron is not good in it.
No.
And she's great in everything. So if you have a movie with Charlize Theron and she's bad, you're fucking up.
I mean, she was great in The Devil's Advocate. That was like one of her first movies.
She's good.
Devil's
Advocate is a frighteningly bad. Remember that one? Keanu Reeves
with a Southern accent.
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino was the devil.
Al Pacino,
the greatest devil of all time.
He doesn't eat the scenery. He he barbecues it and slathers it in sauce and then chows down. It's all over his face.
I don't think I've ever seen that film.
It is wildly bad.
It is.
So bad it's good, I think.
It is. Well, there are portions of that movie that are absolutely phenomenal, surrounded by the worst garbage you've ever seen in your entire life.
And so, what you're saying is all the parts with Al Pacino in it are really good.
Yeah,
but some of those parts include Keanu Reeves, which makes it
no.
Bad. And I'm a huge Keanu Reeves fan. I think he's a good actor in the right circumstances with the right role.
But do not give him accent work.
You shouldn't
ever.
You should never
do accent work. You should ever.
Never do accent
work. A single film he's good in.
Anything that's a contemporary film, I feel like he's
Constantine.
Good in.
He was good. He's
a good Constantine.
Good in Constantine.
I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
He's great
because Constantine's not a good movie.
Yeah. He's great in the Sam Raimi movie called The Gift. Yeah. With Kate Blanchett is like a psychic sort of thing.
What was the one we talked about last time I was here?
John Wick.
John Wick. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
one.
He's great in John Wick and John Wick 2. They're working on the third one.
Yeah, but he's just like a robot in that. He just goes around.
Well, that's the
shit.
Thing. So there's kind of two types of acting. There's the external acting where you're big. All your emotions are big. And that's kind of born out of the theater.
Yeah.
And then there's internal acting where you don't let your emotions out. So Ryan Gosling's been doing that. Marlon Brando popularized
I spend my life doing that.
Exactly. No. Keep it all bottled up. Keanu Reeves is a very much an internal actor. He's keeping everything inside, and it's very subtle reactions that
do you think that
when
that
he goes bigger, you're like, oh, this isn't working. It's
do you
better
think
when he keeps it
that
small.
He's a good actor, or is he just good at playing that?
He's good at doing that. He's good at doing his thing. Don't ask him to do too much. For example, Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula, and he's doing an English accent. Same thing with an owner writer doing an English accent.
That was 92?
Right about that, yeah.
So he
may have been like 20.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's 20.
Because he's about 50. He's 50 now.
It was Bill and Ted.
So he's probably closer to 30.
Yeah.
Probably closer to 30.
So there's no excuse for if you're an actor and you've been in some films. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Been in some films to
to make those decisions. I totally miscast.
Yeah.
Because it was fresh off Point Break. Speed was right down the road. He was like at almost his height of popularity for that time period. So I can see why they would cast him for that reason. The clout. We got Keanu Reeves. But then the movie comes out, I was like, oh, this is not. Especially when you're next to Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman's killing it.
Everything.
Oh, Gary Oldman kills it in just about everything he does.
Exactly. He's so good. He's a great actor. And then Keanu Reeves, it has to be the right circumstance.
We watched Point Break recently.
The original.
Yeah. I didn't even hate the remake for what it was.
It just bored me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's for what it was eye candy.
Yeah, when the movie was over, I was like, man, I wish I had just went to YouTube and did a search for, like,
sports.
The action sports scenes. Because all those scenes were, like, great and inspired and cool and well done. The squirrel suit flying and stuff, the bikes.
I still feel like it was as good as Pulp Fiction, just nothing like Pulp Fiction had been out before.
Oh, you're talking about the original?
No, the remake.
The new one, the remake? Not as good as Pulp Fiction. You think so?
Because Pulp Fiction, when you break it down, it's a terrible film.
No way. I think Pulp Fiction's a great film. That was offensive, but it worked out well.
The only redeeming quality of Pulp Fiction is Gary Busey. And that chase scene where
Gary Busey, where he plays the Buddy Holly? No, that's Steve Buscemi.
Patrick Swayze.
You talking about the original Point Break?
Yeah, Point Break. That's what
you're saying.
Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze throws a dog at Keanu Reeves my favorite chase scene in all of films.
Yeah, the original Point Break is a type of movie where in some ways it's so bad it's good. There's a lot of like cheesy stuff. Gary Busey is over.
And Anthony Kiedis get their asses kicked in that movie.
Anthony Kiedis shoots himself in the foot when a door hits him. It's so silly. It's so silly. But I'm a fan because it's entertaining. It's very entertaining. Whereas the new one has nothing that's silly. They took it very seriously.
Yeah, they did.
And Luke Bracey is not Keanu Reeves.
Nope.
I like Edgar Ramirez. He's not Patrick Swayze. You know, he doesn't have the charisma of a Patrick Swayze. Those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze is a panty dropper.
He is. For men and women.
Yeah.
Straight men and women. Straight men are like, I will blow Patrick Swayze because he was so great. Roadhouse. How many dudes jerk it to Roadhouse?
I used to
straight up
fuck
jerk
guys
off.
Like you in prison, Chris.
Exactly. It's the
weirdest
most,
line in that entire
it's
movie.
The most gay heterosexual movie ever.
Yeah.
Or the most hetero gay movie ever.
Whatever.
Depends on your perspective.
I just liked his apartment.
The design, yes, apartment. The production design. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's exactly what I'm saying. That even straight dudes like, oh, look at that production design. I love the design of this. Yeah, it's so over the top. And then there's a monster truck. Come on. Pete, me? We got to wrap this thing up.
I know, I'm sorry.
Chris, Chris, movie. News. I got news, remember?
Oh, that's
I got
right.
news.
Yeah, you never have news. What's your news?
March 26th, National Geographic Channel. It's called One Strange Rock. Nature series directed by none other than Darren Aronofsky.
Get out of here. There's an Aronofsky series on...
National Geographic Channel.
On Nat Geo.
Starting March 26th.
All right, there you go. Darren Aronofsky. We already mentioned Mother.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Director of Pi, Requiem for a Dream, The Wrestler, Black Swan... He makes tough movies.
He's making a...
nature documentary called One Strange Rock on the National Geographic Channel.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Noah with Russell Crowe. That was his biggest in scope. That, that weird movie.
Yeah.
When does this come out?
March 26th.
Okay.
2 days after the PFT Media Party.
Yep, that Monday.
All right.
It's on National Geographic.
He's just waking up from a hangover.
Exactly. Yep.
And turn it on, and I'm sure be weirded out.
It's going to be so weird.
I don't think I have Nat Geo. I'm going to have to come over to your place and watch it. All right. Very cool. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, yeah, actually did a little bit of producing.
Yeah, a little bit.
You never do that. Yeah. That's wild. All right, Pete.
Yes, sir.
Here we go, buddy. Where's my button?
I don't know.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the Lightwing round.
I can't find my pen. All right, Chris, shut it off.
Chris.
Wow.
None of those work. That's decoration only.
Got full of pens.
Yeah, none of these work.
All right.
Oh, that one works. Okay, here we go. Lightning round. Pete, okay. I need 10 questions. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Sure.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, what is your favorite board game?
Stratego.
Number two, name three Looney Tunes characters.
Daffy Duck, all the little ducks, and Bugs Bunny.
Right, number three. Think of a number between 1 and 10. Picture it. Picture the number in your mind.
Got it.
You can see it?
Sure.
Is it white?
No.
Oh, number four.
White people.
What did you have for breakfast?
A bagel.
Number five. Do you like asparagus?
That's fucking stupid.
Number six. Catwalks or runways?
On the catwalk. On the catwalks.
Number seven. Is this normal?
No.
Number eight. Should we continue or just stop?
Continue.
Number nine. What's up with all this traffic?
It's fucking stupid traffic. Wait a minute. No. I'm just screwing you. Go.
And
stupid traffic.
And finally, number 10.
Okay, yes.
How do you say I love you?
You guys give me a hug.
Oh, hugs, you're a hugger.
I'm a big hugger. All we hug at the end of every episode.
I love a good hug. All right. Drew, break them out. Oh, there's my pen. My pen was behind my ear the whole time, you idiots.
Did I win it?
Me, idiots.
Yeah, you're looking at me. Okay. I couldn't see my pen behind my ear.
Do you have any idea how much hair you have?
You have a boatload of hair, dude.
And you currently have headphones on.
Fair
it's
enough.
It's true. And the stripper is surrounding
and
you.
And the stripper. And the boob.
So much glitter.
And I have boob muffs. Green bag, polka dot bag. Pete, which one do you want?
Don't we normally do a box or something?
The box comes later.
We'll get to that. Don't worry about it.
Polka dots.
Polka dot bag. All right, go. Drew, break out that polka dot bag. What is
inside? If you choose, you get to go home with Dino World Fossil Kit. It's a Dino World Fossil Kit. It's filled with dirt and there's some plastic inside.
There you go. Right. There you go.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah. You've got a Silly Shot Fun Fling. Fling it. Directions are on the back. Yeah.
Fling that shit.
Thank you. That was firm.
Oh, we've got you a Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
On cassette.
Awesome mix. It's a cast member exclusive.
Cast member exclusive on cassette.
This came from Disneyland, California.
Okay.
Listener donated.
So many things.
We've got 8 invitations to a bridal shower.
Okay, that's going to come in here.
There you go for your bridal shower. Then you can save money on the invitations.
Wow. You've got a DVD copy of The Aristocrats, 100 Comedians, One Very Dirty Joke.
Oh, I actually kind of like that film.
It's all right.
It's not bad. It's not a bad documentary.
Gilbert Gottfried in it.
Sarah Silverman.
And you got some PFT Media stickers.
So there you go. All that
Stacey in there. Yeah.
That can all be yours. Or we put that bag away and you take what's in the box.
It's my favorite. Surprise birthday party. If you make it, that film's surprise birthday party.
Surprise birthday party. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Everything's a surprise birthday party.
Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow's head's in this bag.
What's in the surprise birthday party?
What's in the fucking box?
I feel like everybody goes to the box. I feel like I went for the box last time. Everybody in the listening audience is saying, go for the box. I'm keeping the damn
bag. Yeah! He's keeping the bag because he knows what's in the bag. There you go, buddy.
What's in the box? Is it a puppy?
No, you'll never know. We're going to take that just like we did last week. We're taking this box. We have a wood chipper out back. We're going to throw it, contents and all, into the wood chipper to destroy it. No one will know.
Oh. I was about to say, remember, there are no air holes in this box. So if there is a puppy, it's a dead one.
Oh, yeah. Definitely no air holes.
Aren't much fun. Yeah.
Definitely no air holes. Drew, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
I love you guys. I've been looking forward to this for a little while.
You're the best, man. Thank you for taking the time out to hang out with us. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts and listen to us on wherever else you want to. Break up the big banks. Read more books. Be excellent to each other. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.